Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer. Streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, beer drinkers.
Get ready for an all-new experience in information exchange and beer culture.
Your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers from around the globe
right to your home.
You're not just listening to broadcasters. It's the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Yeah, happy new year from the Brewing Network. It's 2007 and another chance for us to corrupt families all over the world. Welcome everybody, it's the Brewcast, the Sunday show, the Sunday session, high gravity. We adopted like 50 names.
3 hours of radio.
Yeah. We adopted a whole lot of names at the end of last year, and we'll talk about that in a little while. Welcome back to the studio, everybody. First time of the year, huh?
Yeah, I was jonesing too.
Hang on, Doc.
You turned me down again?
I didn't. I just rearranged all the microphones. I don't know which one's yours.
Doesn't sound any better.
Oh, I got nothing out of you, huh?
Nothing out of you. Try this other one?
Ooh, that one works.
That one's low.
That one work? Nope.
Something works.
Is that better? Yeah, you turn yourself up.
I think it's just you, Doc. You have you're like a vampire. You don't show up on the microphone.
Radio vampire.
It's really weird.
I can do two microphones.
Oh,
that better, better, better.
Yes,
two.
Yeah, take them both. What? One of them's
two
working.
Microphones.
That one better.
Yeah, that one's better.
Okay.
They say that whatever you do first in the year is how things are going to go for you the rest of the year.
Uh-oh.
Sweet.
So
we're not going to hear Doc the rest of the year. Is that you're doing?
Yeah.
All right.
Some
smile
people
at that.
Yeah. Some people are going to be stoked about
that. Yeah.
Full year of technical difficulties.
Yeah. Exactly right. All right.
Like last year.
Everybody's in the studio. We got JP hanging out with us today.
That's true. Thanks JP.
Of course,
hey,
Dr. Scott, and a special guest, a special surprise for us. The man, the myth, the legend, the guy who I'll drink anything that he brews. He's the only guy who can turn every style of beer into a beer that's hoppy enough for me. Mr. Mike McDole is going to hang out with us today and just drink some beer and have a little fun.
So thanks, Justin.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And
nice to be here.
I'm glad that you're here, mostly because you brought that keg with you.
That never hurts.
At least tell me what I'm drinking, though.
It's an English pale ale. Yeah.
Okay. It's really fantastic. Mike brews some really clean beers, and I know you've heard us talk about him before, at least that he's kind of a good guy to give advice and just a generally good guy to hang out with, so we're happy to have him, and we're going to drink his beer throughout the show.
Great. Glad to be here.
among a lot of other beers, because today is kind of an official tasting show of ours. Now, we do have a very special guest coming through, and that's actually Jim Cook from Sam Adams. And we have a recorded interview with him that we're going to play in the middle of the show. And I had a great time interviewing Jim. He's a really good guy, and sometimes you get a little intimidated when you think about these big guys. I mean, Sam Adams is the largest craft brewer in the country. Mm. And you'll hear him talk about that a little bit. But I'll tell you what, he hangs out as if he was the smallest home brewer in the country.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
He loves beer, and you can tell in kind of everything he says. So it was really a lot of fun to interview him, and we're going to play that for you today, and I think you're going to like it. So that's going to come up right around the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to do that. And then we got a little treat for you guys as that's happening, too. And not too big a deal, but I'll let you know about that. It's a fun thing that we've always wanted to do and never really got to. So we'll tell you about that. So Jim Cook is essentially our guest today. There's a lot of other things that I have to get to, and I just don't know where to begin because I got a whole list of stuff we got to cover. They say that the new year, you know, I think a lot of people, you try to get organized and you try to get rid of things that you've been lingering around for a long time. It's, basically it's a fresh start. And for us here at the BN, we're trying to do the fresh start thing too. So what we've done is we cleaned house, which meant that we have all these home brews that have been sent in to us over the few months that every time we have a packed show, you know, that goes on for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And we can't figure out where to plug in the tasting because they would never fit, and these things kind of get backlogged. So,
but, you know, they didn't fall into that black hole either. They are still around.
And people think that. People think that I either chug them or I threw them out, and I don't. I take good care of them, and I place them in their appropriate shelves. And then they stay there because we never get a chance to.
Sorry, don't drink that. That's a listener's beer.
Exactly.
Take something else.
Absolutely right. I have them all clearly labeled. So what we're going to do is we're clearing our inventory today, but we're going to do it in a fun way. A lot of you send in your beers, you know, for an evaluation, and that's what we're going to do. So after the Jim Cook interview in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to pull out all those listener beers, and we're going through every one of them.
Nice.
Every one of them.
Uh-oh.
Now, there's a little catch to that. Not everybody labeled their beers properly.
Oh,
and
good.
And as Daniela was kind of organizing and making sure, you know, that we get to tasting all of them today, she's like, well, you know, what do we do with the ones that aren't labeled? I said, we evaluate them. Maybe you're not getting, if you don't know it was yours and we don't know it was yours, I still think it's valuable that we taste a homebrew and we say what is and isn't wrong with it. So
sure.
You personally who sent that beer into us and didn't label it properly, you may not get the most value out of you sending us the beer, but at least everybody will still get to benefit from us criticizing even a beer that we have no idea what it is.
Right. If there's several of them that don't have a label on them,
you
just figure that yours was the one we liked.
Exactly. That's a great bit of advice, Doc.
That way nobody gets hurt.
That's right. And everybody's happy. Yeah.
It's actually not too many. I think we have 3 without a label.
Okay.
That narrows it down a little bit.
Yeah. But we have a total of, I would guess, 20.
Wow.
20 different ones?
You mean 20 different styles? No.
Okay.
20 different beers?
No, we have different styles. We have a blonde, we have a bitter, we have a stout, we have is IPAs.
A lot of IPAs.
A lot of IPAs, surprisingly.
Get those bad boys out here.
Yeah. That's right. So I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to go through all of those and we're going to give all the feedback that we've meant to give the whole time. And then we're going to have a nice clean slate. And if you want to send in homebrew to us, we certainly encourage that. I do need to say that you need to label each bottle individually, much like you're sending it to a competition. And a lot of people, they'll send like a nice letter along and tell us the process, and we like that too, but you need to label each bottle individually because it goes into a chest freezer that you know has several other homebrews next to it. And when we pull them out to do our tasting, we need to see it right on the bottle. So please do send us your beer. We want to help you out and label it, and that'll help us out. And that is basically our cleaning house. So on top of getting rid of all our beers, I have a few questions that have been in our inbox. And sometimes people will send us random questions, and they say they'll title it, say, for example, a question for a future show. And we may never get to that topic, so they sit in my inbox waiting for the appropriate topic. Well, we're clearing the inbox, and I just have a few of those, and we're going to talk about those after the break, too, and everyone will get their questions
cool.
answered.
Well, let's dive into your box. Then.
Yes, we're clearing my box.
Yeah.
So as long as you all know, do send us your questions, and we'll always get to them. Sometimes it just takes us a year. You know? Or so.
It won't take 2 years. We're going to do it now.
Yeah, yeah. So that it doesn't drag on for another year.
It's because I think you lost that cottage cheese in the back after everything else.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so that's pretty much your outline of today's show. I guess the one thing I didn't mention is that our first tastings that are going to also be after the break are beers that Daniela imported directly. She became the Brewing Network importer.
The mule.
The mule. Yeah. And brought us some fresh German beer.
Yes.
And what we're going to do is taste that against German beers that we found at local stores. Because we always talk about how the beer changes when it's imported and after sitting in a warehouse or wherever it's been. Well, we're going to do direct comparison here. Now, the only catch to that is we couldn't get some of the exact same beers. So in some cases, we just had to buy the same style, and it was from Germany. It was imported. And we're just going to have to do our best to compare the fresh ones with the ones off the shelf, right, even though they're not identical beers.
But in one case, we got the exact same beer, so I can't wait to try that in the comparison, actually.
Okay. Very cool. So that's what we're doing, too. And Daniela will be telling you more about that, of course, when we get to Daniela's world.
So from now on, we just have Daniela fly over there, get us beer, and fly back.
Yes, I'm down.
It's a pretty good deal.
Well, I was really surprised to notice that you can bring as many beers as you want over the border. I didn't pay any taxes. I didn't claim it at customs. They didn't say anything.
Yeah.
There's only a limit, apparently, on wine and spirits, not on beer, though. Yeah. And I talked to one guy, and he told me, you bring as many beers as you can carry, girl.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a good man.
It's a very good man.
It's hard to find a good man.
It is.
A good man's hard to find.
So JP tells me all the time.
There's about 12 of them.
It's hard
right
to find a good
Daniela.
Woman that'll pack your beer for you.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Okay, let's get to some announcements, and then we can get on with the show. I want to mention our Linda Stark fundraiser and give you folks an update. You all did just an amazing job with our Linda Stark fundraiser. And what have we? We've raised over $6,000 for Linda. Is that right, Daniela?
That is correct. According to the tally today at 12 o'clock noon, we had, including the money from the sponsors, HCA Industries, More Beer, and the 21st Amendment, we have $6,065.
Wow. That's excellent. Okay, and you guys have just done such an awesome job. It's been amazing. I'm really proud to be able to call the folks who are handling the donations for Linda and talk to them about how supportive you've all been. That is actually, I'm really looking forward to that, and I kind of get all gushy when I have to do it. So that's awesome, and I want you all to, in fact, I think we're going to do it for you right now before I move on. We're going to toast you folks at home. Grab yourselves a homebrew. Hopefully you already have one next to you, because you deserve a good and warm-hearted and genuine and you kicked ass toast to all those listeners out there. So tip your homebrews back and cheers, folks, because
cheers.
It was really just an amazing thing.
Poor Justin over there has nobody to clink his glass to.
Clink myself.
We're all clinking over here, and he's all over there.
Yeah.
That is a good job, guys.
Well, I'm overwhelmed, actually. I can't find any words for how the listeners came through in that matter, and it's been so important on us, and it's been such an important cause. And just looking at the numbers all the time, I mean, we definitely looked at the numbers every day. It was just unbelievable to see the number rising. And
it's really great.
Now,
one of our listeners offered to get a Brewing Network tattoo if we reached a certain number.
He would do it if we reached a certain number during the second live show when we tried to raise funds. We did not reach that number quite at that show. We have the number now, so he's going to get it.
No.
Yes. Are you serious?
Yes. The only, he just had a question about the logo.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So he's actually going to get the Brewing Network logo tattooed.
He has talked to his tattoo artist already, and the artist has approved the, he has given him a drawing of the logo, and
really?
He's going to get it. Now he just has a couple of last questions to us, and then he's going to do it.
Like which butt cheek to put it on.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, Justin, match him tattoo for tattoo.
I thought about that, but to me, if I were to tattoo arc, if I did it personally, it's like when you tattoo your girlfriend or your wife, it means she's leaving you. It's a jinx. As soon as you get the tattoo, and I feel like the BN will go out of business the day that I put that tattoo on my body. But it doesn't count if it's a listener. If it's a listener, it's actually a good omen, and I can't believe that someone is going to tattoo our, let's face it, it's a kick-ass logo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's a kick-ass dude. We've met him at the, in Denver. And
Henning is
Henning is just fantastic. And
wow.
I can totally see the logo actually tattooed on him.
Where's he gonna get it, did he say?
I think he mentioned his arm, but I'm not quite sure anymore.
See, that's what I thought too. I thought he said he's gonna put it right somewhere where he doesn't even have to hide it. It's like right there.
How about on his forehead?
See, these are things that I can't wait to tell Linda too. That people have gone so nuts for this that JP and I went pink, which now seems like even gayer than it was in the first place. Now this dude's getting a tattoo, I feel like I felt we were bringing it strong at the time. Yeah. And by the way, I'm still pink. Now I feel like a big pussy.
Yeah,
I think I want to go just kill someone for it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
If we reach $7,000, JP will kill somebody.
Yeah,
random.
I will crawl inside their dead corpse for Linda.
I think you won't even make the first homicide in Oakland. So
yeah.
What, was it the 7th today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, one a day. All right.
Okay. Well, we aren't doing any more on-air fundraisers. We did it for 2 weeks, and we don't want to beat you to death with this. We want to say that you did awesome. But Jamil, wanted his show incorporated too, this is something that's dear to him as well. So let me just briefly mention, and I put it in our forum a while back too. So I'll just kind of recap. Anybody who donates $10 or more, but it's a minimum of $10 between now and we're going to close it at Friday at midnight. If you donate $10, we're going to do a drawing. And actually, Jamil's going to draw the name on his show next Monday. So not tomorrow, but the following Monday. He'll draw a name, and whatever name gets drawn, he's going to send you a six-pack of Jamil's award-winning beer.
Nice.
And we've all talked about getting to drink that on here and made a lot of people jealous, so this is our chance to send it off to you. So Jamil's going to do that.
That's a nice raffle.
It is a good raffle. And it's $10. And it's been going on for a while. So everybody who's done $10, I think I did the post over a week ago. You're all in it already. And between now and Friday, $10 or more, you'll be in it too. Now, if you want an extra bonus, Jamil has said that, and this he posted in the forum as well, $50 donations or more, he'll come out and brew with you or invite you to his house to brew at his place. Now, he did tell me today that he's not going to guarantee, travel time. He's not going to go out to buy the ticket, tomorrow and fly all over the world for this brew session. He can't afford to, to do that. But if we do draw a name, from somewhere else, then the deal is, if he's ever there, he will make a point to come out to your place and brew with you. Vice versa, if you're ever here, he will invite you to his home brewery, and you can brew with Jamil Zainashev for $50 or more. We'll put you in that drawing, too.
I kind of read a caveat on there that you have to pay for his decontamination unit to come with him. So you get in there. Yeah, whole team.
Exactly. You got to pay for the antibacterial tunnel.
Yeah.
That he has
like E.T.
Yeah, exactly. He's like the brewer in a bubble. And you have to pay for that bubble to follow him. So that's the deal with that, okay? And then we're going to close things off on Friday and just get down to business with that. But then feel free to donate. Our button's really easy to use, and you can label your donation. So if at any time from here until eternity, if you would like to donate to Linda, just mark your donation, Linda, and every time we get them, we'll send a check off to Linda ourselves. And that way you can use your credit card and just hit our donate button right there on the Brewing Network homepage. Now, last thing about that is that you've all asked me to keep you updated about what's happening with her. And I did get an email I think I got at the end of last week, and I posted it on our forum. Some of you don't use it, so I'll just read it real quick here. And this is from Linda's sister, Carla Stark. I think it's her sister, actually. Could be her mother, I suppose. But Carla Stark sent this out, and it's just a little update about what's happening with Linda, okay? It says, Linda and her sister, Joyce, returned from Germany December 15th, where she had received her second dendritic cell treatment. The second trip seemed a bit easier, probably because they were there several days less. The treatment was a repeat of the first. The only difficult session was, I guess, she has to go into a heat chamber. And she had observed a few new aches and pains while there in Germany. So some of the treatments are tough. She's really kind of None of this stuff's easy. It says she was home for 1 week, during which she had a follow-up appointment at her oncologist. And the PET scan actually showed the spread of her cancer to some of her soft tissue in her torso. Now, that progression, it says, is disappointing, but she's grateful that it's not showing up in any vital organs yet. And if any of you have ever been through this, that actually is a really... it's kind of, you start to reach a point of no return when it gets into your organs. And so they are positive that it hasn't reached that yet. It's just in some of her soft tissue, which they're obviously concerned about, but... That's the update there. Linda continued with her holiday plans and went to her favorite place, which is Cozumel, down in Mexico. She went there with her friends Joyce and Bill, or her sister Joyce and Bill. And the weather said was great. She returned with a nice tan. They looked for additional health care options while they were down there, thanks to the marvels of the internet, it says. And now she's home again, where, they're exploring those new alternatives in greater depth. It's still several weeks away, I guess, before her next scheduled trip to Germany for another treatment. She wants us to know one of the latest meaningful philosophical quotes that was sent to her from her sister Carol was by Albert Einstein. And the quote goes, "There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle." And it says, "I'd say that Linda sees the miracle in life itself and will embrace all that comes." They say, "Thank you for your continued well wishes, positive thoughts and reflections, and just plain good energy where Linda is concerned. Peace and love from Carla Stark." So that's your update about Linda there. And as we get them, we'll keep them coming to you. All right? Okay. Let me cover just another couple of things. People have asked me about whether or not we were changing the Sunday show name, because we did the whole competition at the end of last year where everybody put in their names. Now, I will say I never actually committed to changing the name officially, and now we're looking into doing that actually, because if I would have said we're definitely going to change the name and you guys sent in a bunch of shit, then I would have been stuck with changing to a shit name.
Like lunch meat or some shit.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. The truth is you actually sent in some great names.
Yeah, there were some good ones. I saw that.
There were some really good ones.
Did you ever read of the good ones?
I did. I read all of the...
I don't remember.
Doc doesn't remember any of the last two shows.
No. Or the last month, I think, in general.
I did read, and there were several good ones. Part of my reluctance to change the name originally is that I wanted to keep Brewcast into the Sunday show name, because it had always been there. Now, I'm not so sure that's necessary. I kind of feel like Brewcast is a little dirty now.
Yeah.
It's been dirtied.
It's tainted.
It's got HIV.
Yeah.
Where
it's
does the
rigged.
Sunday show it's include Brewcast?
Well, I've always said it's the Sunday Live Brewcast, or the Sunday Live Show, or the Sunday Brewcast. I've just always... But I kind of wanted to make it solid and make that part of the name. You know, but now I'm not so sure. And
it's soiled.
Well, like everyone's using Brewcast now to describe, you know, their stuff.
Them.
And,
yeah.
And that's, you know... I understand, like, imitation is the best form of flattery and all that, and that's cool. I just sort of feel like we're being followed by the special bus or something. It's like that kind of, but, you know, it's...
Well, we could be the originals, and
fine.
Then we could go back to the new originals.
In other words,
they quit, but so we could go back to just the originals, but you know, what the heck?
Well, hell, I like that. I'm going to find that clip from Spinal Tap and play that next week in terms of the... Anyway, so I don't know what's happening with the show name. I'm really leaning toward the Sunday Session. That was our favorite of all the names that we got through.
It's simple, to the point.
Yeah, and it really is what we do here. We have ourselves a session every Sunday, and part of it is a drinking session, and the other part of it is a learning session, and either way, it's a session. So we may do that. Look for a possible name change in the coming weeks in respect to the contest that we did, because I really do want to reward you guys for sending in so many cool names. It seems like you put a lot of thought into it.
Yes.
And I'd like to adopt an official name, and we've always kind of been up in the air. Even when I post it on the main page, I change the damn thing every week. So it'd be good to have an official name. Hey, Bub, I see you calling in. Are you there, buddy? Oh, I don't have you.
Should we get the timer?
Yeah. So it's a learning session. Are you learning not to drink so much?
Yeah. Are you there, buddy?
You're learning not to take Bub's phone calls.
Yeah.
Speaking of short, must help plug in the microphone.
See what I mean? We're being followed by the special
bus. The screen is black.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right, Captain Breezelot, yeah. What can we do for you?
Yeah. I was just calling to, you know, you got to have a bub call, and I figured you'd start the timer, and then I'd say something stupid by the end.
You
and
started.
Then you
and
cut him off.
Be happy.
The timer has been started. JP, you bought
yeah,
the...
Yeah, I know, shut up.
JP went and bought the shittiest timer he could find.
You need one to tick.
It doesn't tick. It hardly rings
it
when
like
their time is up.
It's kind of like bub. Doesn't really do a whole lot.
You're ruining my bit.
Wow. I know. Well, you know what? Hey, you had plenty of time to go get another one.
Make the ticking sound yourself.
I think I used up all my creative stuff earlier in the week. I got nothing.
Wait.
Just like this show, pretty much.
There's your ring.
Yeah.
What a... That. I'm going to send that to one of the other brewcasts.
I think you should. I think you should.
The thing is, it doesn't even... All right.
It's not even as good as talking to your dog.
All right, Bubba, is that you're just a worthless phone call?
Yeah, I'm just a worthless phone call.
All right, thank you, sir.
You have a great day.
You too. Take care, Miller.
Bye.
All right, so that's the deal with the name change. Don't know what's happening. Sign up for our newsletter. It just went out this week, and it goes out the first week of every month. It tells you what's happening. I gave you some secrets about the new year. So just hit the newsletter button on our main page. And the last, I want to do a plug, and that is that I encourage you to check out Andy Kilroy's hit comedy strip, Where Drunk Meets Genius. And he does our wallpaper comic in our newsletter every month. Did a great job this month. It's damn funny, if I don't say so myself. And it's WDMG.org. So www.WDMG.org, Where Drunk Meets Genius. And he's a funny guy and does some funny comic strips. And I haven't mentioned him in a few weeks, even though he does this comic for us every month. And I wanted to make sure I got that out there. So check it out. All right, where am I, Doc? So many things happening.
So many things.
You know, I don't even know where to begin.
Doctor's
oh, my God.
You've
oh, there
got
you
go. Mail.
That's what I miss.
Can you play this on your banjo, Doc?
Say yes.
You've been working?
Yeah. Yes. Nice. Doc has a handler tonight, and his name is Mike.
I'm his producer.
So he's sitting between us.
Yeah.
Let me go.
So now come over there.
God, come over there.
Our first feedback of the day is addressed to Daniela and Justin. Says, I just thought about the donations that were made in the first round. I'm very impressed with the rapid and generous response to the cause, even more so on the last show. I hope that it was a great help for her. And he says, while I wasn't anywhere near the $100 that were being thrown out, I hope my little bit was able to help in some small way. If you could keep us all updated on our situation in the forums, that'd be great. Congrats on another great year. I can't wait till next year to see what comes next. Keep up the good work. The reason I wanted to read that is because I'd like you all to know that while the large donations were really amazing, I'll tell you, it was the small donations that really added up. So I don't want anybody feeling bad about only being able to send in $5 or $2 or anything else. Because I'll tell you what, if I could hand over a spreadsheet to you, you'd realize that it was all of the small contributions that really, really, really added up. So nobody, please feel no remorse for not throwing out $100 bills. Anything that you put through helped a ton, and we're gonna let Linda know that too. All right, next one. And this was a question that I got a while ago. About a possible show topic. It was a whole email about liking the show, and then it says, okay, now my question, are you gonna get a homebrew soda maker in any time? I'd love to hear that, and if I knew it was coming, would love to call in and ask some questions too. There are a pile of us homebrewers that have kids, some of us wives that don't drink beer, and there might even be a few of us that would like to drink something other than beer now and then. And then he coughs and says, sorry, I almost choked on that last line. But still, there probably are some people out there. A conversation with a real homebrewer soda maker would be awesome. And he says that he's done a couple root beers, and one came out pretty bad. And did a ginger ale that came out pretty bad, and he gave up after that.
I usually don't try to carbonate them naturally. Then you're starting to add in... contamination stuff. I've had some really bad root beers that are just contaminated.
Well, it ferments too, and
it ferments,
yeasty, and it's not good.
You want to have a CO2 system.
You got to force carbonate.
And exactly. A couple of things you really want to do is who are you targeting this to? Are you targeting this to adults or kids? Kids like it sweeter. Use sugar. Adults don't like it as sweet, and you can use honey or less sugar, and it really appeals to them.
And you're the blender, so you can make some for adults, some for kids.
Right, and you can blend whatever you want, and then force CO2. You don't get the yeast in there, because you're drinking a you know, root beer with a slug of yeast, and it's just not going to taste very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the other night, my son was talking about the root beer at B3. We used to go in there, and, yeah. and usually once in a while, someone would have a keg of root beer in there, and he would go pour a tap on that. He still talks about how that was the best root beer ever.
And I'm sure as a dentist, you loved him drinking it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, what the heck?
It was good. I mean, yeah, it's just root beer extract that they have. Gnome was our favorite. And then 2 pounds of cane sugar and 3 pounds of honey. Put it in a keg with some hot water and fill it up with cold water and, you know, stir everything up and carbonate it. It's really simple.
Yeah.
And it comes out very, very good.
If you're trying to go from scratch, or a lot of guys try to go from scratch with all the little ingredients and the roots and everything
good
else.
Good luck with that.
That's tough.
I've never done it.
It's not I wouldn't suggest trying it that way to start.
No.
But if you're really getting into it, yeah, you probably end up doing it that way.
Okay.
But main thing is don't try to do natural carbonation with the yeast and everything. Just I've not had a good one.
No. Okay. Well, here, I guess, what I want to know for this gentleman, too, to answer is there enough here to do a whole show on soda making? Should we? Can I say yes, we're going to book that? Or is it probably not a whole show? What do you guys think about that?
I could be part of a show.
Yeah, bring a guest.
I don't think it'd be a whole show, but I don't know who makes, you know, their own handcrafted root beers.
And there are there's competitions
Thomas
for
Kemper
all that
maybe
too.
Or something. But
so if you want to get into a whole another area of competition, there's competitions for that too.
All right. Well, with all that, it sounds to me like we could do a show on it. I mean, we'll obviously do our normal dicking around, but
oh well, yeah,
we could spend an alcoholic root beer sometime.
Alcoholic root beer.
I had one. A customer.
That sounds nasty.
One. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
Just add Captain Morgan's. That's the best way.
Ah. Yeah, there you go. You want an alcoholic root beer?
Oh, and by
Captain
the way,
and Coke.
If you don't have a CO2 system, and you want to convince your wife you need one, tell her you can make your own soda.
There you go. That's
a closer.
But I can bond with the kids, sweetheart.
Yeah. They can have their own tap.
Yeah.
And you need your own faucet and your own line and your own keg for that stuff, because you can't get the soda out of the O-rings
and a kegerator
and the beer line stuff. And your own kegerator for that, right.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me like we probably could do an hour discussion on it, which is usually about all we do, 2 hours sometimes. So I'll try to book that, and I guess we'll call it the sober show or some.
No.
The sugar show.
We won't be drinking any. We'll be talking about it.
Just talking about it. Okay.
So when you drink the soda pop.
All right, so
for the kids, right?
That's what we'll do then. We will get somebody who maybe does the competition scene with the beers and stuff too, and the soda, and we'll do a soda show. All right, that is your feedback for the week, and finally, everybody's favorite segment of the week. It's time for Daniela's World, Vigorously.
Good to be back, isn't it?
It is. I never went anywhere, but
No, I mean on the air.
Oh, I see.
It's okay to be in the U.S. Germany was pretty nice.
Yeah, I bet.
Did you forget how to get back there then or something?
What? JP, can you mute him?
Sure.
Thank you. Well, I brought you today the beers we talked about earlier, and I want to give a little feedback or information about the beers, about the history of the breweries and what those beers are all about.
Perfect.
Before we get into tasting them.
How
which
do you
we'll
find
be doing
all these beers?
Just after the break.
Is there a specialty shop?
No,
those
are really just basic German brews that you can find at any gas station.
You just called us douchebags here in the United States by saying that you can get all that world-class beer at the gas station.
Well, maybe you're not going to like it, so
not our gas stations.
That's right.
No, those were just very basic ones. I was actually trying to find some Belgian beers while I was in Munich, and I did not find them. So in terms of like getting other specialties, Munich is a little weak, but the lagers and Weiss beers you can get just anywhere, even at the gas station. So the first one I brought is from a brewery called Kloster Andex, and it's a Doppelbock Dunkel. You guys just brewed a Doppelbock too, right?
We did.
How did that turn out anyways?
We should try some at the break.
Yeah, I had JP put it on CO2 because I ran out, and it should be pour ready. I had some just the other day. It's you're totally right, Doc. It's getting better with age.
Yeah.
Not that it started bad, but...
No, it changes a lot. It's so high alcohol, and it's... A lot of malties going on there.
Yes. So, yeah, we'll try it at the break, and we'll talk about it.
It better be good. I didn't spend 12 hours brewing with you for nothing.
Right.
Not just brewing, Doug.
Okay.
I was there. Anyway, so the first brewery, it's called Kloster Annex. It's a little monastery in the south of Bavaria. And the monks there have been brewing since 1455. In 1974, the religious order decided to entirely rebuild the brewery to meet the demand and to sustain jobs as well as build new jobs. Ever since, the monastery has been brewing on state-of-the-art equipment with a great focus on environmentally friendly brewing and has earned the German environment certifications. The brewery Annex has always subscribed to high-quality beer rather than huge outputs. It brews according to the Bavarian purity law from 1516. All ingredients are strictly from Bavaria, e.g. the grain for the production up to the five different malts per beer. So they put five different malts per beer in there. They're all from Bavaria. The hops is from Hallertau and so on.
Wow.
Yeah. Before the beer is even sold, it passes around 50 quality control stages. 50, that is. Isn't
so does that mean that there's like 50
monks drinking?
Yeah, yeah. So there's like 50 German dudes in Lederhosen. And the same monk 50 times? Is that what it is?
Well, it's lucky monk.
It's actually really funny because everybody who, like every quality control stage, so everybody who does it has to put a signature on the on this sheet, you know, with the quality control. Can you imagine how the signature changes over the course on one day? You
yeah.
know, like every single beer you taste, you need to sign for it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
What a job, though.
How do you, I want to know how you get to be the lucky monk that as McDowell likes
the
to call him.
Lucky monk.
Yeah. Sounds, lucky monk to me sounds like the monk who stumbled upon the brothel instead of the monastery. But I guess it could be the guy
who's
That's
a really 50. Lucky monk.
The monastery has a small output, 115,000 hectoliter per year. 10% of this is just being sold directly at the monastery. And we went there, actually. Do you remember when we were in Germany?
That's where I had the pig's ankle or something.
Yeah, the pig's foot.
Yeah.
Good pig's foot.
Never forget that.
Oh, it was good. It was more than just an ankle, though. It was like a foot, though. It was
half
like a
calf.
It was some sort of a limb,
a cankle.
Yeah, it is. It's good though, isn't it?
You stupid Americans don't eat anything.
Yeah, only Americans eat so much.
It was a cankle. Now that you mention it, JP, it was a pig cankle.
Yeah,
cankle.
I like how the monks have a Brooklyn accent right now. Those stupid Americans.
Yeah,
they'll drink anything.
All monks come from Brookline.
Hey, Danny.
The brewery Annex brews a Dunkel, a Mountain Bock, a specialty Helles, and a Weiss beer. So they don't brew too many different styles. The one that I brought, as I said, is the Annex Doppelbock. It's brewed with dark Bavarian malt using the triple decoction method. The alcohol content of this beer is around 7%, which is not too high for a Doppelbock, is it?
No.
It's like moderate. It's in a lower end. And the Stammwürze is 18.5%. Now, this Stammwürze is something I've... you read it in Germany all the time. Whenever a beer is being classified, you read of the Stammwürze. And it only says Stammwürze 18.5%. Now, if you translate it literally, it would mean original word. That's what Stammwürze means as a word. How they describe it is, the Stammwürze is the amount of sugar, protein, vitamins, aromas in the wort that was released out of the malt through water. In fermentation, the Stammwürze results in 1/3 alcohol, 1/3 CO2, and 1/3 residuals. Stammwürze and alcohol content are closely attached. The Stammwürze is approximately 3 times higher than the alcohol content.
Have you heard of that, Doc?
It sounds like there's just another way of doing original gravity.
That's what I thought, too, until she explains that it has to do with all the other sort of vitamins and things in there, too.
Well, did you read that again?
What vitamins? There's no vitamins.
Well...
You well, crazy?
Yeah, read it once more, would you?
Okay, so how they describe it, the Stammwürze is the amount of sugar, protein, vitamins, aromas in the wort that was released out of the malt through water. In fermentation, the Stammwürze results in 1/3 alcohol, 1/3 CO2, and 1/3 just residual stuff.
Unfermentable.
I know the word vitamins was in there, but I mean, they don't put like a Flintstone in each bottle.
But it's talking about every proteins. Every, so I guess you're right. It is just another way of saying...
It's like a Play-Doh or
but
something.
It sounds like Play-Doh. It's like a 1082.
Yeah.
I just finally want to know what that is, because every German beer description you read, they always talk about the Stammwürze, every single one, and I need to know what that is finally.
Yeah.
So anyways,
I know
we don't want you to know.
We need to talk to Dan Gordon about that.
Yeah, we
That's
do.
That's a good idea, yeah. Yes.
Call him.
Everybody knows, call in.
I want to call Dan. I'll call Dan at the break. All I'll right. see if I can
yeah,
get him.
Yeah, call him. He knows. He's
I'm sure he does.
Thing.
I think it. I think it's just some. I think they made it up.
Yeah. Well,
just
it sounds like
just
they made
to
it up
with us.
No, it sounds like they made it up before they actually knew stuff.
Like, yeah. And they just exactly, held on to yeah, it.
Oh, yeah. How do you explain why you have this growth on your side of your head? It's like, well, you know, the gods don't like me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So they have to figure out a way. If I put this much stuff in there, I'm going to have...
Stuff. That's stuff. German for stuff.
I'm going to have this much alcohol in there.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pseudoscience, and it's to make us feel stupid.
Maybe it is.
As if we need any help.
I just lost something in the translation.
Well, I really translated carefully this time. So I tried to make sure that we don't lose anything in translation, and that's what it says.
Yeah.
Every time you talk, I lose something in translation.
Sweet.
I got a caller. Well, let me take it real quick. Brian, you're on the line. What's happening?
Let's take a break, guys. Some of us need more drinks, and
hey,
some of us
H2.
Need to get the can.
H2.
Can we take a break here? Come on.
What are you, my new producer?
Yes, I'm your new producer. He's bringing it weak.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to lose anything, any content. He has to go to the bathroom really bad. So he calls up to say, hey, take a break.
I love that. The listeners are like, all right, let's just tell them what to do. If they're not going to do it, fuck it. All right, Brian. Thank you for the call. And let's let Danielle at least get through our segment. You can't cut off Daniela's World Vigorosa.
So rude.
And then we'll do a break. All right, maybe speed it up.
Speed it up. Okay, the next beer I brought, I can't wait to try, actually. It's Hackerpfarrer. You all know the brewery by the name. The beer is called Anno 1417. It's a Naturtrübes Kellerbier, which is a basement beer, basically, in a literal translation, which means that this is an unfiltered lager.
Okay.
So all kinds of craziness is going to be in that beer. What I want to say about this beer is that in Germany, they say this beer is extremely healthy because all the, you know, proteins and the vitamins, again, from the yeast.
The Schlitzinger.
Still in the beer, so actually you drink a healthy beer.
Nothing cures disease like a good Schnitzelgruben.
No, it's true. 14 is my limit, though.
Keller beer, I don't know if you guys are even familiar with that style of the Keller beers. It's a very traditional way of drinking beer. That's how you use in Germany back in the day. You used to just get it out of your basement. It just was sitting there for a while, and then you just would drink it before filtration became public. And when was that? 1900-something, 1800-something, I believe. So that was that. The fourth, third beer I brought is the König Ludwig Dunkel by the König Ludwig Schloss Brauerei Kaltenberg.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
This brewery is a royal one, actually. It goes back to the Wittelsbacher family, whose Duke Wilhelm IV was responsible for the introduction of the Bavarian purity law.
Uh-huh.
So this brewery has always been in royal possession. In our days, it's Prince Luitpold, who is like the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of those guys, and he still brews in two different facilities in Germany.
There's a segment about him in one of Charlie Papazian's book, Microbrewed Adventures, and how it is still royalty and it's owned by him. But the guy hangs out like a home brewer. Like Charlie goes in there and he's just, now he's just passionate about beer and here he is this noble character.
Brewing with the king.
And this royalty. And he wears, you know, just, he's like got a t-shirt on. He's just hanging out and cheering to beers with everybody. So that's kind of a cool
thing. I just kind of got it in my head that he looks like that Burger King dude.
Yeah.
Is it a running around brewing beer?
If I were royalty, that's what I would do.
Not facial expression change or anything?
Not saying anything, just creeping up on you in the morning holding a beer out?
Yeah. You got to imagine Prince Luitpold's life. He brews beer all day. He has his own castle, and he drives race cars, and then he goes sailing, and I think he flies planes, too.
And that's don't forget about his bitches.
No bitches. Yeah. They say that he is not interested in those.
Oh, is that right?
If you know what I mean.
Oh.
So he's on JP's side of the
corner. We should interview him for lunch.
Man, I'll tell you, Germany's had its fair share of gay kings and princes.
Sure.
You know, what is that about?
Absolutely.
It's in the water.
I guess when they're bored, that's what I do.
Okay. Same as around here.
I'm bored. I think
they call me Prince Abigail.
I want a man now.
I'm bored. I think I'll roughly sodomize Gehring over there.
Now, the interesting story about this brewery is they really want to be on the Oktoberfest so bad. They've tried to get on the Oktoberfest for like 50 or 60 years, but they just wouldn't, the officials wouldn't allow them because you got to be a Munich brewery.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, the castle is located 20 miles outside of Munich.
In what they call the Castro.
The Castro of Germany.
Just gas everyone. They'll let them in.
What does that mean?
We talk about the style of Dunkel beer later on, because a Dunkel, as we say in Bavaria, substitutes one good schnitzel meal. Because it's such a rich beer. It's so, you know, while drinking it, you feel like you're actually eating. It's so full-bodied. It's very nice. You'll see.
I'm going to have that for lunch tomorrow.
The fourth and last beer I brought is actually not from Bavaria. It's from East Germany, and it's a Köstritzer Schwarz beer.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Schwarz beer before.
Oh, yeah.
You like Schwarz beer, I know. And this Köstritzer, in Germany, they say it's the best Schwarz beer.
That's the one you got. That's exactly, isn't it?
Yes.
We have that here today?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's got privileged.
See, now you're real happy you showed up, huh, Mike?
So what's nice about this brewery and what I like about it, the brewery, of course, has been around for like 400 or 500 years almost, I think. So it was in Germany when there was communism. And the brewery itself was in the communist part of Germany, and it was actually one of the only companies there in East Germany that was allowed to export their produce because it was so good.
So they have the oldest Schwarz.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't know either.
It sounds nasty.
I just thought it sounded nasty. I see your Schwarz is older than mine.
The brewery now, in our days, is 100% the daughter of Bitburger, which I'm sure you guys know.
100% daughter of Bitburger?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
100%, you know.
Owned by.
Oh, okay.
That's what we say in business.
Oh.
You say it's the daughter?
Yeah.
No, I think
I'm in business. I've never heard daughter before.
I thought you usually say it's the sister.
No.
It's the daughter?
Yeah.
I never heard
it's
that.
One level below, you know.
I like that you're like, that's what we say in business.
In business.
Oh.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to Stupidville.
So that's a nice story because it survived the communism. It's now one of the biggest brands in Germany. It's the probably the most successful Schwarz beer in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it also designs its own glassware too, like a specific glass for Schwarz beer, which I didn't bring, unfortunately.
So it's not only the oldest, it's the biggest Schwarz.
Probably so.
Yeah.
We'll just drink it out of the bottle.
That's right.
So, I can't wait to taste with you guys.
Me neither, and that's what we're going to do right when we come back. Yes. Go fill up your beer and have yourself a pee, because we got another long tasting segment in front of us. Mike McDowell's hanging out, and we're damn happy about it. Plus, I got Jim Cook, a little interview coming up for you later. Hang in there. It's the Brewcast.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. On the Brewing Network. We'll be right back. Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters.
On the Brewing Network.
All right, I hope that gave you all enough time to get yourself a beer and have yourself a pee.
Yeah, Brian.
At the break there, I played a good L.A. band called
Buckfast.
That's right, Buckfast. That was their song, California. You go to, like, myspace.com/Buckfast. Find them there. Just do a Google for Buckfast, and you'll find them. It's a good band. Friends of mine from a long time ago. I haven't seen them in a while, and came out with a new CD. I thought I'd give them some play because it's good stuff. I'm going to play another tune of theirs later in the show. And then I got new music from the Pillbilly Knights, who are the makers of our favorite DUI song.
Ooh.
And they've actually redone it on their new album, so I'm
really?
I'm going to play that for you. Plus another really funny song that's bound to become a BN classic from them, too. Going to have to hang out to the end of the show for that. Okay. We're about to get into our tastings here of Daniela's beer. Before I do that, I just want to reveal our little surprise that we got for you a little bit later on, which is when we go to the Jim Cook interview, which is about a 45 or 50-minute interview. You know, something that we never get to do, the rest of us brewcasters here in the studio, is hang out in the chat room with you guys during the Sunday show. I mean, we hear all the stories about how cool it is in there and how like half of the show actually occurs in the chat room, or at least all the good parts of the show.
Well, that's what Daniela says anyway.
Yeah. So, here's what we're gonna do. When we go to Jim Cook and we're playing that for you, Doc, myself, JP, Daniela, we're all gonna be in the chat room with you guys, just kinda hanging out.
Oh,
so,
cool.
It's really a treat for us because, the rest of us have never gotten to do that during the show.
Yeah.
So, instead of just going off somewhere and drinking until we pass out, we're going to stay here and drink until we pass out and talk with you folks in the chat.
Well, isn't that going to upset the balance of the universe? Isn't something going to time-space
like
implode or something?
Total protonic reversal.
We can't be in two places at once?
It's true. If it starts to happen, we'll have to commit to bailing out and pressing
okay.
the eject button.
Push the eject button.
Push the eject
yeah.
button if
yeah.
you know.
If anybody freaks out, they should let us know.
That's right. So we know what to do.
Mike will talk you down.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, so that's the deal on that. You're going to want to hang out because pretty much when we're done with this segment, we'll take another break, let you regain your composure, and come back and listen to Jim Cook from Boston Beer Company talk to you about that whole deal, and we'll be hanging out with you in the chat room. All right, Daniela, what are we going to start with? Which beer? And by the way, if you're just tuning in, what we're doing here is we're taking a hand-delivered, fresh imported beer, and imported by our own distributor, Daniela, and we're going to take that and compare it to off-the-shelf imported beer that we found here, because we often talk about the problems that happen with beer in transit, and we're going to see what we pick up. So what are we going to start with?
I don't know. I told you the styles we have. They're all lagers. We have a Dunkel, we have a Doppelbock, a Dunkel Doppelbock, we have this Keller beer, which is the unfiltered lager, and we have the Schwarz beer. So what do you think, which order would be the best? We
Keller
have the
beer.
Schwarz beer.
Keller. Yeah.
We have the Schwarz beer in direct comparison with the with the one that I bought here at
Okay,
Bettman's.
Cool.
Let's do that one first.
Yeah,
I think the Keller beer
first?
would be better, wouldn't it?
You don't think it's going to mess up our palate having the Schwanz first?
Well, what I wanted, yeah. we have that
unfiltered
one. We have
lager.
One delivered and one we bought here.
Yeah.
And that it could be a slight difference, and I kind of want to hit that first.
Let's do
I
it.
I understand. Okay.
We'll take that. Doc's advice and start right with the Schwarz.
The
beer.
Schwarz beer.
Yeah, which I've not brewed yet, you know, because it's a good beer, and I don't want to fuck that up.
No. You're doing it justice by not even touching that.
Yeah, I think that's true. The best thing that I could do for my favorite beers is never touch them,
yeah.
other than to drink other people's versions yeah. of them. Until I got an email from somebody. It was the most ridiculous email I've ever gotten. The person said, ooh. You know, now that you're getting all this good information and I can tell you're becoming a better brewer, what are we going to do when you don't have the stupid questions anymore?
I was like, they don't know you very well.
Yeah, you obviously have not learned a thing. I haven't learned anything.
Yeah. No.
I'm brewing the same beer today as I did a year ago. Which is beer that I like and my roommate likes, and that's good enough for us.
I like your beer, too.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
All right. So what did you pour first? The German fresh one, right?
I won't tell you.
Okay. It's going to be a blind. Fair enough. I'm giving it a smell. And
so we're now tasting the Köstritzer Schwarzbier, it's called, from this East German brewery, as I said.
Okay.
Schwarzbier, the style itself, Dr. Scott, is Schwarzbier because they do something to the malt, right? Or they do something to the malt before they brew the beer. Right?
Well, it's just part of the malt bill that they use to get it dark. They use dark grains. Right. They use dark grains and a certain percentage to get it that color. It's dark. It's like a almost... It's a little bit ambery, but it's almost...
It's a clear beer, but it's so dark.
It's clear and it's dark. You can see some amber highlights around it. It's not quite as opaque as a stout.
You want to hear a controversy I heard about how the color of a Schwarzbier should be?
Sure.
So I was having Dan Gordon's Schwarzbier, and they don't call it that. Call it their... I forget what they call
dark
it.
Dark lager or whatever.
They don't call any of their... Like, they don't call their Kölsch a Kölsch either. Yeah. They call it their summer beer. And right. They're just trying to stay true to tradition. And anyway, we were talking about the color of it and mentioning how it wasn't black. And he said... Dan said that no beer should be black. No Schwarzbier should be black. That it actually should be a very, very dark brown. Mm-hmm. But if it's true to style, it should not be black. And then I was speaking to somebody else and... I don't want to say it was Jamil, because I'm often wrong about that. I always think it was Jamil that told me this, but it was somebody who brews to style very often, and they actually said, no, that's a bunch of crap. Schwarzbier should be black. So I don't know which is true. I'm just giving you the controversy and saying that the Dan said the Schwarzbier should not, if true to style, be black. It should be a very dark brown.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, McDowell?
Well, I don't know. I mean, black is probably not an attainable... You know, goal. I mean, very dark, of course.
Yeah.
But I think, like, even this beer, if it were cloudy, like it had some sort of haze, you know,
yeah.
It hadn't settled so well, it would be essentially looking black.
More, right. Yeah, opaque.
You'd be able to see through it like this.
And but, yeah, this is yeah, not black.
No. But if it were cloudy in any way, it would look
it
black.
It would, okay.
And just for your information, where the name of the beer comes from, Schwarz is the color black in German. That's a literal translation of
yeah.
the word. So
yeah,
it's called black beer. And,
yeah.
Like, I always believe it must have some reason why they, back in the day, called it then a Schwarzbier because it was just so super dark and probably very close to Schwarz.
See, if anybody but the Dan had said that to me, I'd say you're an idiot. but it was the
oh,
Dan.
No.
And I was
well,
like,
I agree when Dan talks.
I was like, I'm not going to argue with this man. So, I don't know. And I'm just putting it out there so that you all can be your own judge.
So, are we trying to guess about if this was the imported one or the American?
Well, I think maybe not until we try the other one.
Right.
So, oh, okay.
So what do you think of the beer anyways?
Oh, yeah, let's...
I only smelled it.
You didn't taste it yet?
No.
The alcohol content of this beer is 4.8%. So it's very moderate.
Mm-hmm. It has a good grain nose, I
think.
It's
very grainy.
Yeah.
That's the main thing I'm getting.
As a Schwarzbier should be.
Yeah, and it's got a good grain flavor, of course. It shows up after tasting.
My nose is all jacked. I can't really smell a whole lot, but I can tell you what's imported and what's not. It has a very raisiny extract quality to it. And I'll bet you this is sitting on...
This is probably the import. I mean, not the import, the one that's been
well,
sitting on the
imported,
shelf.
Well, they're both imported,
because I can taste, so smell some oxidized.
Yeah.
But
not bad.
No, it's still
drinkable. I'd still have a pint, that's for sure.
What is the specific flavor that you're getting that you're saying oxidized, or aroma? Is that a cardboard thing?
Yeah, it's a cardboard, kind of a musty kind of smell.
Yeah. Okay.
And
that is what you're interpreting as oxidized.
Yeah, the two things I get out of this is what Mike was saying. It's a grainy smell, and the other smell is I just get a little bit oxidized, kind of cardboardy, kind of.
Yep.
And
I get a little of that too. A little like a basement, kind of basementy, kind of dusty,
musty. Yeah.
I get that. Let me do this while these guys are
like
tasting
a crypt.
It. And still kind of picking out the flavors.
Like a crypt.
I want you guys to go to a website, and I want you to print out what is known as the flavor wheel. And a lot of you might know about it already. I actually found out about it from one of our listeners' posts. Bug Eater posted it in our forum, and it's been around for quite a while. Go to weekendbrewer.com/beerflavorwheel.htm. Okay, weekendbrewer.com. And you could probably just go to weekendbrewer.com and click around. You'll find what's called the flavor wheel, and you can print it out. And it's a really cool thing because all of these flavors that we're going to mention about all these beers, they're on the flavor wheel, and they tell you where it's coming from. So when Doc mentions, you know, kind of a cardboardy oxidation, you can look on the flavor wheel and find out what's making that happen. And in this case, it would be oxygen. And it also could be light struck, although they are in they're all in very brown bottles.
So. Yeah, the light struck would come across more as a sulfury,
okay,
which is on the wheel,
just on
too.
The wheel also. So do that. It actually is going to help you for the entire show if you print out the flavor wheel at weekendbrewer.com, and you'll be able to follow along with everything we do. Okay, any other notes on this one before we taste the other version of it, which is the exact same beer, just one is imported directly and one's from BevMo.
It's sweet. Not too bad, but as JP put out, it's kind of raisiny.
Yeah.
Good body mouthfeel to it. Mm-hmm. It's not watery, but it's not chewy either. It's kind of like a black pilsner almost.
Yeah.
It's
a little roasty, a little smoky, mm-hmm, which is good, I think. I like that.
I think it's an overall good flavor, and I would say that even if that is the import, it hasn't been too badly abused. You know, it's
no,
good.
I mean,
it,
considering
I mean, definitely yeah. It has that oxidation that we were talking about, but not too poorly abused.
No.
All right, so now we're actually pouring the other version. It's the exact same beer, like I said.
It smells way different, though.
One's from here and one's imported. And everyone's going to get a chance. Oh, it does smell very different, this one.
Mm-hmm. A little yeasty, maybe, but that could be my nose. But
why,
clean.
You,
like
you
clean
typically
it.
Have yeast in your nose?
Yeah, I snort dry
snort
yeast.
Dry yeast.
Yeah.
It's cheap. It's a cheap high.
Yeah, it'll mess you up, boy.
So Doc and Mike are giving themselves a sniff now, and do you guys notice a difference in aroma?
I don't get quite the grainy smell that I did before.
That's
at all. In fact,
I'm not getting that at all.
Okay, so no
it's
graininess.
That's all gone.
I'll be honest, I got like HIV or something right now. I had pneumonia. I don't know what I got. My nostrils aren't doing too great. So
no.
I can't, the big aroma. I can tell that it's a different aroma, but I can't tell you why.
Yeah. I think you just gave Danielle a heart attack there.
Yeah. Everybody,
I have HIV.
I have the HIV.
Oh yeah, I didn't tell you guys that?
Yeah. My bad.
It's cleaner and actually get a little hint of DMS in it too.
Do you?
I can't get
it's
that.
Just barely.
The flavor is amazing.
So what?
Night and day.
Just barely the smell just of that. Because it. The only reason I'm getting that is because everything else just went away.
Yeah.
The cardboard thing went away. The graininess went away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to pull anything out of it.
Well, Doc's on steroids. He took a nose sniffer thing. So
I think this one goes so much smoother down your palate. It's just, it doesn't seem like to be a different beer. It's still the same beer, but it's just more complete than the first one we tried.
Tasty.
Well, I think like JP said, it's definitely cleaner. I get that too. And you're right. It's smooth, and that kind of goes hand in hand with clean.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why, you know, also the heat is I think what we were experiencing with the one that we got
right.
from BevMo, because that raisiny kind of thing. And that'll kind of jump out and almost like breaks, you know, on your tongue, just kind of like stop the flow, and it kind of is rigid
now,
and weird. And but this is
what
just
do you
smooth
mean
and
by
goes,
heat? You mean that's what
like
you mean
storage?
Storage.
Okay,
that's
store
what
hot.
Caused those flavors.
It just basically ages the beer a lot faster when it's hot.
Okay. So we're thinking warm warehouse for the other one. McDowell, what do you think about this one?
Well, this beer really tastes good. It's got a little bit more sweetness than the first beer.
And
at the front end, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't taste as roasty as the other one.
No.
And
no.
In a Schwartz beer, you're supposed to not get roasty.
Okay.
Which is a tough That's thing true. On a Schwartz beer. You got to get it dark without getting it roasty.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of tough.
Sure.
Because all your dark grains are kind of roasty.
They've been roasted.
Right. So it's kind of a hard balance to get it just that far.
You guys are right on. The second one is the one I brought over directly.
Good job.
Just bought it and brought it over.
Okay.
One of our
beer.
Listeners raised the question and said, could it be that they brew a different recipe here in the States? Could it be that it was actually not exported from Germany, but he brewed here in the U.S. under a different recipe?
I think not this brand.
Mm-hmm. It says product of Germany.
You know, the color, the foam, they're exactly the same.
Yeah, everything's the same.
Yeah,
it would cost them too much money to give us
the
know,
the labels are different, though.
Are they? Yeah, they are. So, well, one's
a
in German
bit.
And one's in English.
Oh, is that what that is? I just figured they had typesetting issues.
She tried to find the English ones there, but they couldn't.
Well, I still want to recommend this beer to everybody who's looking for a good example for a Schwarzbier. I find it amazing. I
Even
think it's a fantastic beer.
I've had on the shelf are great because you can't find a lot of Schwartz beers anywhere, and this is one you can kind of find around.
And we didn't have terrible things to say about it, but it is, and this is why we set up this segment. It was great to see that there really is a true difference. I like that Mike McDowell mentioned the sweetness in this one because that really does come through, and it makes me think that a subtle sweetness, it maybe is one of the first things to go. Because it turns into those other things.
Yeah, maybe the handling is where it gets lost. Another fermentation picks up or something.
I got a little more sweetness in the first one, which was kind of masking everything else. This one seems a lot more balanced.
That's good.
It's a different kind of sweetness. This one's got a one kind of sweetness, but it's not that raisiny thing that we had at the
front of the first sweetness.
One.
Yeah. Well, anything mellow, I think, is the first to go. You know, anything subtle or soft
is the first to be overtaken.
It's the first to be shut down.
The second one's definitely more balanced.
Okay.
It's not too much of this, too much of that, and it all kind of...
It's a good beer.
And
either way.
As Daniela said, the second one is our freshly delivered one. So, all right, so the myth is true in that example, and we're going to try some other ones. Let me take a phone call real quick. Caller, you're on the air. What's happening?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Good. I just had a quick question about a fermentation issue that I have going on.
Okay, we can do that.
Yes.
I brewed some beer last night, came out with the original gravity of 1072, made a yeast slurry or whatever it's called. I had California ale yeast, boiled up some wort, put it in, let it cool, pitched the yeast, put an airlock on it in the growler, let it sit for, you know, a good 6-7 hours, brewed my beer. Pitched it in, and then, when I put the airlock on, it kind of glugged a few times.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was fermenting right away, and I had it out in the garage. I didn't, because I've heard in the past, let it start on the cool side and let it work its way up.
Okay.
I'm calling from Indiana, and it's a little cold here right now. I know Justin's sorry to hear about that we have all the snow and everything.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's warmer there and everything, but... anyways, I was letting it work up. I kind of let it sit in the garage for maybe 2 hours, then brought it into the foyer, and it was a little bit warm there. Got up this morning early. I had, dreams about my beer and it fermenting. Usually it gets going right away, and it wasn't, so...
What?
I was a little worried. I brought it inside into the pantry, and it's kind of like, basically it's been 24 hours since I pitched the yeast, and I have no...
That's nothing.
Know. What was the temperature in your foyer?
I would say it's definitely less than ale temperature, but maybe, I would say maybe 5 or 6 degrees less than ale temperature.
So what do you know? It's 55 or
it's... low 60s?
Or what?
I would say maybe 62, 61, 62, and right now it's 65 where I have it.
Okay.
Dude,
it's in a little closet, and I put a lamp, and plugged it in, and kind of made a little incubator out of it.
All right.
I would just, rock it, kind of get all the yeast back up on the, into solution, because it's most likely...
So you think it'd be all right to aerate it again?
Just shake it a little bit. Just jostle it a little bit, rock it, and then let it warm up. Just let it, don't worry about it. 24 hours, you're fine.
What do you think?
Okay, man? I was just a little worried about it, because usually, when I pitch my yeast, it gets kicking pretty quick, and...
On what size beer? You got a pretty big starting gravity here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 1072. I poured in 10 pounds of malt extract, 4 pounds of. I did a little mini mash.
Right, but you said I'm sorry, but you said your starting gravity was 1072 or something like that.
Yeah, 1072 is what I got, and
that's going to take a little longer.
Yeah, how big a pitch did you? How is your starter? How big was your?
It was just a little the standard vial. I think it's 35 mil of Kelsey, and I made a starter
in a growler.
How big is your starter? In a pint starter or a quart starter?
I did it in a growler.
A half gallon starter.
But you only did it for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you?
Yeah. I don't know. I was getting a little in a hurry.
No, 6 hours is great. It's better than nothing.
That's cool.
How he says when he reads about something and he just wants to you're just I want to go brew.
Yeah, exactly. And you just want to definitely. I'm with you. And
go
you just want to try it. I'll tell you what. I can answer this, which is going to, what a way to start the year. I can answer a friggin' question. But the reason.
I love your guys' show, by the way.
Thanks,
so
brother.
Awesome.
Hey, I appreciate that, man. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one reason I can answer this. And that's because I'm like you, and I freak out about this shit, and I start calling everybody and wondering why my stuff's not, started fermenting.
He does.
but here's the, and I'm glad that McDowell brought up, but brought up the gravity too. First of all, with a 6 hour starter, that was cool to do. And what you did was, it was like help to wake up the yeast, but it didn't reproduce any. So it was still the same amount of cells as you started with in that vial. But you added in 6 hours in the thing. I'm kind of curious about what temperature your starter was at, because I wonder if your wort, having been out in the garage there, was cold and you put like a warm starter.
Well, no, what
there.
I did was I mashed on my stove and then brought it out to the garage on like a Cajun burner and then boiled it and had a nice boil. You know, it kind of folds into itself when you have a nice boil.
Yeah, so it was warm, you know. What temperature was your wort when you pitched it?
I knew about 75 when I pitched it.
Okay, so that's not cold either. So really all that's happening, it's really just that you got a big beer, and 24 hours is nothing anyway. Even if you had, I'll tell you what, I'd say the same thing if you only had a 1040 beer. I'd still say that 24 hours is no big deal. But on a 1070 beer, man, you're fine. That stuff's just, it's, you know what it's doing? It's like starting to build up its cell walls, and it's reproducing a little bit, and it's just not, it's not doing its, yep. Mike McDill's telling me that it's having sex with itself.
Yeah.
And,
I just saw him put one finger into a hole. I didn't know what that meant.
I can interpret that. And it means the yeast is right now, they're in there having themselves a little triple X party.
Well,
and you know what? If in another 24, like Jason said, go ahead and give it a stir. Don't oxygenate it.
No, I'd oxygenate it.
Like,
you
not,
can.
Not
it's not going to hurt.
Just kind of like swish it around a little bit. And
oh, Doc's saying go ahead and oxygenate it.
I oxygenate up to the point where I see fermentation starting.
Okay, there you go.
And I was listening to the archives, and it was talking about like how Doc, like when he pulls teeth out, like if he goes to work at 7 or 7.30, depending on the time, and not to oxygenate basically like after a certain time.
Yeah, that's true. Doc like, figures out when to oxygenate by his root canals.
Up on the archives, but you way too much out there.
If I'll pitch at 4 o'clock, I'll oxygenate then. Before I go to bed at 11, I'll oxygenate again. If I get up in the morning, it's not bubbling.
You do it again.
I'll do it one more time. And by the time I get home at noon to check on it again, it's going. So right. As long as you keep going, you can oxygenate till it starts to ferment, and then stop.
Yeah, first
especially with a big beer. Especially with a big beer like that,
up to 24 hours, it's okay.
Yeah, I'll definitely when it's ready to drink. If it ever starts fermenting, I'm definitely going to send some into you guys.
Well, it could be fermenting
now
too.
You're talking.
Keep in mind what it does. It like Justin was saying, it goes through two stages of respiration. So it's building its cell walls. It's breathing. It's uptaking all that oxygen. So just because you don't see something happening doesn't mean that it's not actually happening. It might just be on such a minute scale that it's not visible yet.
Daniel,
so they're having a frat party at a minute scale right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't put off CO2 when they're reproducing like that. So
they're doing the aerobic thing, not the anaerobic thing.
I have one of those like little S-curve like bubblers.
Right.
And you know how like it'll go to the left if like CO2 is coming out. It's like way to the right.
Well, make sure that that your plug in the top of there sealed too. Maybe put some sanitizer on and seal it. I've had that happen where I didn't have the conical all the way sealed. It's not bubbling. As soon as I cranked it down, and it was all good after that.
Daniela, did you have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I have a statement.
Okay.
The chat room's feedback is that 6 hours is not long enough for the starter. That's probably why he's having a delay
now. For a big beer like that,
yeah.
But he did better than just pitching the vial.
Yeah,
better
than nothing.
Dumping the vial in.
Mike, well, some of the guys in the chat room go and say it takes 2 to 3 days for the starter. Is that's my question actually? Then is 2 to 3 days a reasonable number?
And
They're right if you're looking for some reproduction and to actually be pitching more yeast cells than you would by just throwing a vial in. They're absolutely correct. But 6 hour starter, like we said, it'll serve to help wake it up from from being in. It's kind of in a dormant state in that vial. And for him to throw it in some wort for 6 hours, there's nothing wrong with that. And he's going to get it's going to start to do its thing, a little sooner.
They got to make enough guys to kind of mow through all that.
But it's a reasonable recommendation to say to have it longer than 6 hours because it doesn't help a lot.
Now, if this guy was...
I remember listening to one of your archives and saying, like, you know, do it a couple days before so every time you see it, it just reminds you have to brew, you know?
Yeah, but me and this guy, we don't got time for that shit.
I just got excited, you know? I was like, I just got to brew.
I relate to that, too.
So. But they're right.
And also, as a feedback from a chat room, they say anything under 36 hours, don't sweat it. It should still be fine.
Okay, so I still have a pretty good, like, time.
Oh,
yeah. Worry about that.
You're good, man.
Oh, yeah.
If it was a 1048, 1050 beer, it would have been bubbling by now.
Yeah.
But anytime you got anything over a 1060, you got to pitch more yeast. If you and it can come up fast, but you got to pitch a big pitch into it. And to do that, you're going to need to replicate. To replicate, you're going to need several days to do it.
Yeah.
But so, what you did was fine.
So here's what you do.
Okay.
Aerate it. Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex for a little while. If in another, 24 hours or so, you don't see anything happening, send Dr. Scott an email. He's probably going to tell you to do something.
I have a little vial of California Cal 5.
Yeah.
White Lab. Should I maybe make a start with that now?
Yeah.
Dude, don't worry about it. Just shake it up and let it warm up a little bit and just chill out. It'll be cool.
It'll go to sleep if it's around 63. So you got to kind of watch that. And it's not the temperature in the room. It's the temperature of the beer. And actually, it'll heat itself up as it's fermenting.
Yeah, because the byproducts heat. So.
Right. So I would keep it where you got it. But don't let it get too hot. Be careful with that light.
Yeah, I was going to say watch that because
it's not directly on. I have a sheet wrapped around it. You know, I have the light pointing in the other direction.
Do you got a thermometer that you can kind of put next to it?
I have
something?
Like three different thermometers. I'm just trying to see which.
Put them all right there.
Just don't let it get up into the. Yeah, put an alarm on that thing too.
But you're fine. Don't sweat it.
Just don't let it get too hot with the closet and the light thing. It can easily go up to 75, and you know. Is you're gonna have a different beer that way.
Maybe you think I should get like I have one of those liquid crystal ones. You think I should maybe get that up to like 75, then shut it off and kind of let it coast back down a little bit.
No. I would just keep it around. If you can get around 68, you're fine.
Okay. All right, brother.
Just don't let it get too hot or too cold.
I love your guys' show. You guys are the shit.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call too.
See ya.
Cheers. All right. So there you go. Always happy to help. 888-401-BEER is our phone number if you have questions, too. We're going to move on now to another beer sampling, and not sure which one Danielle is going to pour. And then, of course, our Jim Cook interview is coming up, so just hang in there a little bit, and we're going to do a couple more tastings here, and then we're going to play you Jim Cook from Boston Beer Company, otherwise known as Samuel Adams. Which one are we about to taste now?
I think now we go with the Keller beer, right? Because that's what you wanted to start off with before we move into the really big ones.
All right. So this one, what we're doing is, now we don't have an exact match of it.
We don't have anything comparable. They didn't even sell anything at the BevMo that's comparable.
So we're just drinking this for the hell of it?
We're just drinking this for the hell of it.
Fantastic. That's
we don't need to get, fresh German beer off the plane.
And then the other one, we have one more tasting, right?
Two.
Two more tastings.
Yes.
Right.
Which is going to be a Dunkel beer, and then a Doppelbock.
Okay, fair enough. Need some antibiotics. Need some beer.
Just more vitamins in your beer.
I can't give you any, but I could sell you some.
Well, you know what's funny is that if anybody else said that, it'd be illegal, but Doc's actually, it's true. It's actually true. I'm going to cough here for a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
So I've never had this before. I don't know what it tastes like at all.
It's very very sweet, nice
sweet
and light.
Sweet, a little fruity.
It's delicate. Supposed to be low in carbonation.
Delicate and fruity like Scott.
Yeah, I was thinking you, but okay.
It's an unfiltered lager? Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds oxymoron to me.
It's like they compare it to a pilsner, actually, like an unfiltered pilsner.
Okay.
Unfiltered pilsner. Well, it's a little cloudy, but... you know, hey, what are you
going to
do?
Look at my glass. Mine is really cloudy.
But you're right, Jay. It's like, lagers is cold storage, so you store it for a long time. Everything's going to drop out eventually. What do they do? Add cloudiness to it?
Shake it up.
They say they have a lot of yeast in there.
I don't like it at all.
I wonder if it's bottle conditioned.
Tastes like homebrew.
Is that why we don't like
Chad's drinking dishwater over there.
We got a problem if that's homebrew.
Mike McDowell, have you ever had this kind of beer before?
No, what style is it supposed to be?
It's
supposed to be a pils.
Lager. It's supposed to be
German
a pils.
Pilsner?
But yes. Not filtered. So they want to leave the yeast in suspension.
Well, it's definitely got that thicker mouthfeel.
Yeah, it's got a great body, right, no doubt.
It's a thicker mouth, almost slick on your tongue.
Right. It's a little bit...
It tastes a little wordy to me.
No, it's not grainy enough. It doesn't taste like a German pilsner where you can taste the pilsner malt. It tastes more like a Kolsch to me.
It's lemony almost.
Mm-hmm. It's so fruity, yeah.
Fruity, yeah.
It's very fruity.
It's like vagina.
I don't think
it has a lot of wheat malt.
Fruity like vagina?
It's not bad, but I wouldn't order another one.
No. See, that's never a good sign for a beer. No, I like
it's interesting.
It, but, I don't want any more.
I'd have a pint. It's not that bad.
Have they been brewing this since 1417?
Yes.
Man, some people haven't even been alive that long. That's a really long time to have been brewing beer.
I hope we got a fresh one.
It's just, it's
well, that you never know. Maybe
it's like the first batch.
Maybe it was on the shelf for a long time.
It's not that popular.
It's really, really slick on your tongue, and it makes me feel like I don't want any more.
It's set, there's a date on the back.
Actually, I got this one directly.
15-17.
Drum roll.
Well, it's like, I'm assuming it's a Best Buy date.
Let me see.
Unless 15, they made 17? It in the future and then sent it to us in the past.
Which
it says 8/24/07 is the date as the Best Buy.
I got this directly from the source because my friend, my very good friend, she works with Huckup Shore.
Yeah.
And she got it for me right from the plant, basically, in Munich.
Oh, so it's as fresh can be.
Yeah, so if you
it's
guys don't like it, it's not the freshness
factor. Maybe
that's
it. Maybe it needs to sit a little longer.
Oh.
It's a nice bottle, though, isn't it?
I don't know
it?
That much about it. Most of the beers I drink.
It's a nice bottle.
Really?
It's got to have some vitamins. Can we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I don't like it too much either. So I'm not into the killer beers.
I feel like... You know,
I'm not now either.
Jamil's going to come in here and tell us that this is one of like the finest examples of a quality beer. And then we're all going to feel like monkeys.
Yeah.
We're going to feel like primitive beings who haven't understood good beer yet or something.
He's going to drink it and go,
I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah.
How could you not like this beer?
Yeah.
It's a great beer. I'm going on the form.
I mean, I'm going to finish it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, it's not going to ask
that made me not want to have any more beer.
See, that is the worst side of a beer.
That's kryptonite for Scott there, this Keller beer. I don't want any more beer now.
Now that you said that, I'm not going
to. Yeah, exactly.
I'm such a follower.
I mean, it's not bad, but...
Who's going to drink the dump bucket at the end, though?
Ooh, the Rambo?
Okay, you can have it.
Get the Rambo. Yes.
All right, let's move on to our next example. It's the König Ludwig, the royal beer now.
Uh-huh.
The Dunkelbier.
From the old... You know, Sissy King.
It's almost as dark as the Schwartz beer.
It's the Princess beer.
Hello, I must brew some beer now for you.
For this beer, the brewery only uses Bavarian ingredients, and only the noble hops from Hallertau are being used for this beer.
Yeah, and this is my best beer, and I was hoping that you would all like it very much. Thank you.
I put a little bit of me inside every batch.
I don't need to know that.
Ooh.
No, it's
this
dark.
This one smells great.
Much more ambery than the. It's dark, closer to the Schwartz beer, but not as dark as.
No,
that.
Not at all. It's. I would say it's the color of like an American brown.
Yeah, it looks like Mike's brown actually.
Yeah, American brown or a dark American amber maybe.
Okay. Oh, it really smells good. I like the aroma on this one.
I get a little sulfur.
Yeah.
JP,
definitely.
Are you doing the pee-pee dance?
No, I'm just doing the. Irritated. Not irritated, but don't
he's
worry.
He's got a rash. Leave him alone.
Yeah, just doing the I forgot my preparation H dance.
Yeah, definitely sulfur.
Yeah. Huh. Totally.
And a little roasty in the nose.
Yeah.
I think it smells great.
Yeah.
Especially
It's not bad. Sometimes sulfur.
You're smelling sulfur,
good.
Not tasting sulfur.
No, sulfur. It's definitely the smell.
Yeah. I'm tasting it. That's, you know, the aluminium I'm always talking about when I sometimes try German lagers.
Aluminium?
Yeah, aluminum even.
Yeah.
Or even aluminum.
Ooh, that tastes
aluminium.
Funky.
Yeah, I get that too. I get that aluminum flavor too. And by the way, on the flavor wheel
that's
talked about.
That's called metallic.
It actually spreads them into two. There's a taste part of the wheel and an odor part of the wheel. And you'll get to know kind of what we're talking about too. When Doc's talking about sulfur, it's obviously on the odor part of the wheel, and that's where it's coming from.
Can I say this is probably the worst beer I've ever had?
Yeah,
it's
no, gross.
It's, you mean the Heller, the other
this
one?
This one right
the
here,
Keller beer was better than
oh,
this one.
Oh, yeah,
really?
Well, yeah, I'd have that in my cereal. This is it's I don't know what it is, but
I don't
it just weighs
it's
heavy
bad,
on
no.
my tongue, and I just want to shave my tongue.
Well,
off.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. It's like it substitutes a meal. That's why it's so heavy.
But it's a
no, but it's not like a malt. It's not
the
like
same
a nice.
Thing.
It's not like a nice heavy flavor.
No,
you
the
know
diacyl
I mean?
Has the same kind of thing. It kind of satiates you.
Yeah,
it makes you feel like I'm full.
Yeah,
and I don't want any more. My tongue is
and you're
done.
Getting diacetyl on this one.
A little bit and a little bit of salt. Big sulfur off of it, which can come with lager beers.
Is the diacetyl that you're tasting? I just want to help people, you know, pinpoint
real,
this too.
It's more of a.
Is it a butterscotch or
no,
something else?
It's not. It's almost not even the perceptible as a taste. It's barely.
So you just know because you know.
Yeah, because I know. I'm real susceptible
well, that doesn't help anybody.
To the buttery kind of thing, and it's mostly on my tongue when I feel it.
Okay,
it's
like a
yeah,
feel.
It's a coating kind of thing.
Okay,
and I'm with JP. It's like you know.
This makes me not want to have beer.
This makes me not want to have another one.
McDowell, what do you think about this one?
Well, no, it's not the worst beer I ever had.
Yeah. No, I'm not going with that one.
but I don't know. I am in somewhat disagreement with JP here.
Okay.
Yeah, I can taste the sulfur.
All right.
And I can't detect the diacetyl, but you know, it's not to me. It's like a lot of European beers to me just have a different flavor, and that's kind of what I'm getting here. It's
just different,
drinkable.
Yeah. Well,
I wouldn't order a second pint. I would go to someplace else on the menu, but
yeah.
I'd be able to get this down.
Oh, that brings up a really good point.
I finish a half liter.
That brings up a really good point too. It's we're used to drinking beer, and then we get something that we haven't usually had. You can't get this here. It's just, it's, like you said, it's a different European kind of taste.
Yeah,
we're so used to in California drinking Napa wines and California wines and some of the best wines in the world. And then I got introduced to French wines. It's a whole different thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, it's a slap in the face.
That's right. Very, very different.
It's very different. And it's
a French slap.
And it'll beat your palate until you get used to it.
You get used to it. Well, you got to open your mind up that it's going to be, it's just because it's red and it's not going to be the same.
So JP just got punched in the palate is really what happened.
I don't know. Believe me. After drinking it, I kind of have an urge to go to a disco and take one off the chin. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is.
Just as a to go a little bit towards JP's direction, this would be a good beer for like the cost plus variety pack or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, nobody would be upset paying $4 for a six pack.
Okay. So it's an introduction to a style, but maybe not the best representative. Okay.
Represent.
What do we got? One more to try?
Well, we have to try the American example, not the American example, but the one I bought here, which is from a different German brewery.
Let's do that quickly, and then we're going to take a break before we do our last sample, because I'm sure that people are having to pee again. And I'm
they all think now German beer sucks.
This is malty, almost wordy, like you were kind of trying to say the other time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It smells
like
cloying.
I'm telling you, I got no problem with this beer. I think that it's a little metallic. I do get that Daniela was talking about, but I'm all right with the rest of it. I drink.
Well, the
one.
Metallic is the only one that bothers me. Only thing, I think the beer itself is really good.
Yeah, I'll finish the bottle.
But definitely is different than the beer we usually drink here in California, with all the hop flavor and all that being so overwhelming. You don't have that in German beers. Lagers don't have the hops.
Yeah. All right, so now we're pouring the still a German beer, but one that we got off the shelves here.
It's from Eyinger.
Eyinger is the brewer of this one.
It's a good little brewery.
And it is there.
This smells fantastic.
Yeah. Altbayerisch Dunkel.
Altbayerisches Dunkel. Well, let me tell you about the Dunkel beers. That's actually the beers that used to be very popular in Munich before before the blonde lager conquered the world, or conquered Munich. Mm-hmm. That's what Bavarians used to drink, which is the world to me, exactly.
Okay. This one smells fantastic. It's nutty, mm-hmm. Grainy, malty. Dare I say biscuity?
You may. JP's dying.
I don't get the sulfur off of this one at all.
Oh, this smells nice, too. It smells real malty.
And the malty's probably, you know, if there's any oxidation in there, the malt's smell is kind of masking that out. But I'm going to keep my nose in there all night.
Sweeter than the last one. A lot sweeter.
It definitely tastes, it smells a lot sweeter than it tastes. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a lot drier.
The approach is different than
You're expecting something like cloyingly sweet when when you taste it, it's not.
Not at all.
And this is not
it's kind of dry
yellow
almost.
Beer. This is like an amber colored beer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Like half the show is just like microphone and desk sounds.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go through the archive and play those.
You should, for just an hour.
Yeah, it's our desk sound.
It'll be the new thing for 2007 for all the other ones.
I fix that.
You probably put that in a song.
Yeah. All right. So overall impression of this one, you guys have tasted it now?
I like it. It's good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Actually, it's very dry, especially compared to what you're smelling in there.
Yeah. It's a little roasty, too.
Yeah, you're expecting almost a big, thick, nasty Doppelbock that's just not attenuated enough, but it is.
Exactly. Now, what about it smells like it hasn't fermented all the way.
What about these import things that we found in the other one, you know, that had it been sitting on the shelf, if it's stored warm, if it's been a while, are you getting any off flavors like that? Or does it taste fresh to you?
Well, I wouldn't go with fresh because even the taste is almost too dry. Mm-hmm. It's It just kind of puckers your mouth. There's some tannins in here.
Okay.
And that can be a sign of aging, too.
Okay.
And if you roll it past your tongue, back, you're going to get just kind of dries out your tongue. It's really kind of puckering.
Yeah.
It's a little raisiny in the nose, but yeah. Nothing like...
As far as like what we're tasting before, smelling before,
like
the maltiness and the roastiness of this wort just kind of masks that, too.
Okay.
It's a big beer.
Mr. McDowell, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I like the beer. It's not, I don't think it's pretty small for the style.
Okay. So you're not getting any alcohol?
Well, I'm just saying it could be as well like a Vienna Lager or something like that, or okay. Even a heavy Märzen.
I'd agree with that. I could put it in the Vienna Lager. That's a good description, actually.
It's got a nice beat. I can dance to it.
Doc will be finishing that one for us.
Yeah.
Okay, so overall, we're not really noticing the effects of this one being an import.
No, not really on this one.
It stands up pretty well.
Yeah. And I think we expected to find that. It really kind of goes to show, sometimes you're going to go pick up an import off the shelf, and maybe they just got it. Well, I mean, maybe it's not been sitting in the warehouse.
Certain things, too, have to, the more melanoidins in there, the more they resist oxidation.
Okay.
So these darker, roastier beers
will actually
be able to hold up to that a lot longer.
A little more longevity just because of that.
Yep.
Okay. What about the higher alcohol ones? Is that kind of a thing that keeps them their shelf life too? Or is that just kind of a long distance
aging thing? That's a kind of a separate thing. We're talking with aging being oxidized.
Yeah, yeah.
And the melanoidins help kind of hold that back.
Okay.
So it doesn't have so much to do with the alcohol in it so much.
So is that to say that in general, if we pick up a Dunkel, that it's going to be more likely to have not been
it was
not
the same age as a Hellas or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna, and handled the same way?
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to hold up longer.
Okay.
Lighter, like kind of saying earlier about the Schwartz, but the more subtle notes of anything, that's going to go first.
Okay.
And that's what we noticed with that Schwartz beer, tasting the two, is that... The slight things, the small things, just kind of went away with the first one.
Yeah.
All right. We've got one more to taste, and we're going to take a break first.
Exactly. We have the Andex at Doppelbock, the Monastery Brewery.
Ah, cool.
And you guys just put a Doppelbock, so I thought that would be nice for you to taste one that comes directly from Germany.
Well, then why don't we pour our Doppelbock at the break here and bring that in and let everybody taste that, and we'll taste it how the monks do it, and we'll see what's doing in all of those.
Now, this Doppelbock, Doc, I've been reading about it, and they say it's so good because it's being brewed with a triple decoction method.
The one we're going to taste.
That one we're going to taste now.
After the break.
Well, after the break. So that's the question for you. After the break. The triple decoction.
At this point in age, it's probably more of a selling point for them than anything else.
I think it's cool, though, that ours is triple decocted also, and theirs is triple decocted, and we can see who's decock did better.
Tastes better.
I have a thought, though. Monks don't wear pants.
Yeah. McDowell just said we're going to have a decock fight when we get back. I love it. We are. I should have labeled the show that way.
But monks don't brew with pants, right?
No, they don't. And so, we, unfortunately, did.
Did we?
Oh, I'm disappointed. Yeah.
Well, not the beginning, anyway.
Yeah. All right. So stay tuned for the first official Brewing Network decock fight when we come back. And hang in there. Another tune from our good L.A. band, Buckfast, and a word from Beer, Beer, and More Beer at the break. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Did you know that not only can you order from More Beer online at morebeer.com and receive free shipping on most orders over $59, but you can also shop in person at their two retail locations located in Concord and Riverside, California. In fact, the Concord facility has grown to over 15,000 square feet to fit all the new products, expanded showroom, and new Knowledge Center classroom. And now, in conjunction with the Brewing Network, More Beer is making it easier than ever to keep up on what's happening. Look for the all-new More Beer Monthly podcast at morebeer.com later in January. You'll learn about More Beer's history, sales and discounts on More Beer products, get to know team members, and hear coupon codes during the podcast to save you your money. So go to morebeer.com or call 800-600-0033. That's 800-600-0033. And don't forget to check in later this month for the new More Beer Monthly podcast, a production of the Brewing Network.
We're about to have a decock fight here in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Doc and I's triple decoction Doppelbach against the German triple decoction.
And against one that I bought here. Against,
but there's still a German one. But
still
that
a German
one. On the
no
shelf
one will
here.
Know.
Well, let's try the German one first, right?
We will. I just want to say that was Buckfast that you heard at the break there. The song the song is Tear Us Apart. And you can check out Buckfast. Just do a Google for them. But they're at myspace.com/Buckfast. Good music. And coming up in just a few minutes, our interview with Jim Cook. And then we're going to hang out with you folks in the chat room. So if you're not in the chat room yet, go in there. And then you can taunt us and tell JP he's a petard.
Go there.
All right. So what do we got here? Are we going to taste the German Doppelbach first that you delivered, or Doc and I?
I want the German first.
Yeah, ours is at, what, 32, 33?
Needs to warm up
degrees.
A
oh, is it ice cold out there?
You can just feel the difference. It's got to warm up, or you're not going to taste any of the maltiness out of it.
So we're going to let that warm up, and we're going to try. And what's this brewery also? Daniela.
It's the Monastery Brewery, Kloster Andex, it's called.
Monks with no pants.
The beer is called Doppelbock Dunkel.
Okay. And now, I've had their Helles, and Doc, I actually shared one of their Helleses with you one night when you were here helping us build a cabinet or something. I pulled out a couple of Helleses.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
The first one I gave you was from this monastery also, and really, it was a great Helles.
Yeah, I didn't remember that one.
Very clean, just very German. It was, there was nothing wrong with it. It was pure German Helles. So this will be the first non-Helles I've had from that brewery. And everyone now has one in their hand. What's your first impression getting your aroma in there, Doc?
I'm not getting a lot of nose out of it.
Really? I get a lot of nose.
No, not like the last one.
You know what I'm pleased about already? I'm going to tell you right now that the little nose I am getting out of it smells similar to ours, too. Which I thought was—I was hoping it wasn't a weird flavor.
So confused. I just smelled the microphone. I'm so confused right now. It smells a little alcohol, kind of a little alcohol-y in the nose.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
that's a sweet smell you're gonna get off of that one.
Like alcohol, flowers.
Alcohol is
flower.
A weird kind of sweetness and a weird kind of sweet taste too.
Well, this beer has 7% alcohol, which is as high as it gets actually for German beers, I think.
Even a Doppelbock.
What?
Yeah, Germans are really moderate, even for a Doppelbock.
Mine start at 9%.
That is why we love you, Mikhail.
Well, you Americans have the hammer in the alcohol. We don't.
Well, my Hefeweizen started about 6%.
Somebody's signature on our forum, when you sign up with a name, you can put it like a quote or something every time you do a post. His signature is like, why brew anything under 8%? It's like, why bother?
It's not an efficient use of space.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't disagree with that.
Neither do I.
You can water it down later.
I'm looking on the flavor wheel for that...
For what?
That, sort of alcoholic aroma that you guys are talking about.
It's kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
But that's taste more, so...
Because what's cool about this flavor wheel is it'll give you sort of the descriptions, and then it'll tell you what it is. So I'm looking for the sweet thing and how it compares.
Alcohol's going to taste... It's how I find things in the supermarket.
Okay.
If I can't find where it is, what would it be like that would be next to it? So then I think, well, that's over there, and I know where that is, and that's why I find things.
You lost
me. Well, it's how do you find things? Look for the like stuff, and it's going to be on this flavor wheel in the same area.
I see.
Alcohol is going to taste estery, fruity, solvent-like, and hey, damn, there's alcohol.
Okay, I gotcha. So would that be the part of the wheel that's aromatic, fragrant, fruity,
right.
Floral?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you get too much alcohol or high alcohols, it's going to taste like solvent. Or
yep.
Solventy, and that's why it is a kind of a fine line in between that too.
Okay,
yeah. It does have a very distinct floral
mm-hmm.
thing going on.
So
there,
it's
in this beer.
It's all kind of that you get that tasting, and then kind of look for it's kind of floral but kind of alcoholy, and then you'll find it in there.
And then you go to the wheel, and that's weekendbrewer.com/beerflavorwheel.htm. It's been around since late 70s. It's Dr. Morten Meilgaard who actually invented the thing, and people have been using it ever since. So if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, we're talking about the flavor wheel. And you're right, Doc. Now that I'm looking at the wheel too, and trying to pick out the actual flavors, you can. It's like a pie chart is how the wheel works, and you find on the pie what it is you're perceiving, and then it'll tell you. It'll help you figure out exactly what that might be.
And that's
be.
Kind of right at the pie to where the odor and the taste kind of overlap.
Yeah, right where they meet there.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, what else? Did you taste it yet?
I did, and it tastes awesome.
It's just plain awesome.
Very flavorful beer.
Let me see. Awesome. I'm looking for awesome on the flavor wheel.
Well, that's in the German category.
Oh.
Look for German.
It's right by Vigorously.
Oh, there it is.
And aluminium.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're right.
It is aluminium. That's what we scientists say, JP.
We.
Sorry, I didn't notice you without your lab coat on.
First it was we in the business world, and now it's we in the science world.
Yeah.
We say that.
Oh, you uneducated tool.
Educated?
Yeah.
Educated.
Or dis or whatever the preposition is.
You don't have any etiquette
either. Diseducated.
All right. So Daniela's description is awesome. McDowell, what would your description be?
And don't say tubular, please.
Yeah.
Well, to me it tastes... it's not a very, very... it's on the low end of Doppelbock. It might be a little bit towards the high end, but still within, I think, traditional Bock.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
I think the mouth feels a little less than what I'm looking for.
Right.
Is it?
It's almost a little on the watery side.
So it's thin. Mm-hmm.
Thinner than it should be. It's not a thin beer by any means, but it's where we're thinking Doppelbock.
Yeah.
It's not chewy enough.
I love that Doc's telling the monks they fucked up their Doppelbock.
Yeah. We have only been doing this for 400 years, Dr. Scott.
Dudes, get on the train then, man, because we're doing it right over here.
Come and drink some of this stuff.
Nice.
And on the train.
Okay, so you're thinking it's a little thin. And, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's thin, but I will say, and maybe in some ways I'm agreeing with you, it does taste, it's hot, and there is a lot of alcohol in there, and I guess I would prefer a little more malt to help that out.
Exactly, and I think if it had more body to it, which would have been more maltiness, it would probably work that out, so it wasn't so...
It masked the alcohol.
Yeah.
That is so interesting, because to me, this is a classic example of a Bock, of a Doppelbock even, and you guys, you are disappointed that it's not enough for a Doppelbock for you guys.
I don't
See?
Think it's disappointed, right? Are you guys disappointed?
No.
Oh, no, it's a good beer.
No, we're just trying to describe it.
But you say it's too low for being a Doppelbock, so I'm just saying it's interesting
on
how...
On the low end of it. And we're not disappointed by any means. We're just trying to describe it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to pull up a Salvatore or Optimator or something, this ain't it.
Yeah. Mm. Although I still really like that we've got the nuts to sit here and say that the monks didn't do it right. We're like, hey, it's not an American Doppelbock, douchebag.
No.
Well, but don't you worry, Dave. I've only been brewing this recipe since 1455.
It's not what the Americans expect the Doppelbock to be.
And that's what I'm trying to say. It's interesting to me, too, that you guys have an idea of a style.
Yeah.
And you drink it, and you do it, and you think that's the style. But in Germany, we would have a totally different idea of that style, you know?
Right.
That's my only point.
Well, sure. I think it's because we've only probably gotten the higher alcohol in the chewier on the spectrum of the Doppelbocks.
Than this one.
Like we were saying earlier, because that's probably what survives the trip better.
And, well, and you know, most of what I know is Doppelbock is from home brewers. I mean, I don't walk into bars and say, oh, give me, a 10-ounce pour of that Doppelbock.
That's true.
You know, there's only a few that have that.
And traditionally in Bavaria, Doppelbock is the food that monks live off when they fast. So that's why it's like really high to us. It's really a full-bodied good beer.
Yeah.
So I'm like a monk for a weekend.
Yeah, except we're really afraid of starving. We brew 9%.
We should
good
do
point,
we
should starve but we don't care.
You want to fast for a weekend?
Well, I'm thinking we should do a weekend show at where like from Friday night
from lunch meat.
Yeah, there you go. From lunch, we start at lunch meet, and until we finish the show, Sunday night.
Oh man,
we don't do anything but
Doppelbock.
But Doppelbock.
Oh,
and I don't mean we have to sit around getting drunk. But what I do mean,
you're hungry. I want something to eat.
You have a
I'll have a Doppelbock.
Yeah.
I think I'm down to do that.
Let's do that.
I think my insides are pissed at me right now for agreeing to this, but I'm down.
Yeah. My colon will hate it.
That sounds like a nice little experiment.
It'll be a good experiment, right?
Jackass experiment.
Yeah. We're going to sound like, it'll sound like a hangover show by the time Sunday
you got
around.
A hangover? You have some more Doppelbock.
Well, we have to do some chanting, of course, too.
And
some
chanting.
McDowell's right.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll have to have, like a quarterly chant.
Oh,
you know.
We can make up some good chants. Oh, I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I just want to wear a robe around you guys.
We're just going to, we're going to chant Brewcast. Which translates to lawsuit, by the way. We're going to chant that for like 6 hours straight.
All hail Brewcast.
Lawsuit.
The holiest of... You know what it does for me on the palate?
Yeah.
On the
makes you sing badly?
It makes me sing horribly. It's all the schmutz in my throat. It starts on the side of my mouth, and then it feels like it goes to the center and falls apart at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah,
kind of what you were saying. I was kind of thinking of a way to describe the kind of small body, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, the lower end, like you were saying, but it's like, it starts big and then it kind of feels like it's folding in on
itself.
But no residual
sweetness.
Again, it just kind of really weakens the beer, though, in general, putting the lime in.
Yeah, and that's why. I mean, normally, you know, you take it, you shoot it back hard,
yeah.
and it comes into your mouth, and you swallow, and it's still coating your tongue.
I just thought I'd pull out a classic JP description because that one started the same way.
Yeah, sure.
I could tell he was trying to not do the same thing, too.
We got to keep things moving because I got to get to the gym interview.
Okay, let's go.
We have the Optimeter still here, the Doppelbock that I bought off a shelf here in America.
Okay.
I use that for cooking quite a bit.
I like Optimeter.
Optimeter.
I don't even know her.
Optimator?
Yeah.
What does that translate to?
The optimizer.
What does that mean? Like the guy who makes
That's
things
not
the
a
best?
Word. Yeah, exactly.
The optimal.
Yeah. It's the guy
dude.
Who makes things the best.
Gonna make your life optimal.
Okay.
The optimizer.
Make your life optimal.
I hope I'm the optimizer of something someday. You know? I want to be like the optimizer
of what?
Vagina.
Let me interrupt this real quick.
We've been working on it about 20 years. If you're not there yet,
I'm not.
Here's a serious threat coming through in a chat room. One of our listeners is saying, I'm going to sue Justin for not making fun of lawsuits. That's a serious threat.
It is a serious threat. Actually, the truth is, everything I've said tonight should be interpreted as a lawsuit threat.
I'm actually have my lawyers working on it because you said hi to me.
I always speak in code, and you can always assume that what I'm saying equals I'm going to sue you.
Absolutely.
I think we should talk to Chad's parrot, Ralphie, right now and ask his parrot what he thinks.
I cannot count the times that I've been sued by Justin last year.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys call it?
Yeah.
Well, she uses my name all the time. She says, Justin, do this. Justin, do that. And once I sued
her, defamation.
I said, that's my name, and you're using it, and I'm suing
you. Unless you pay for it, you can no longer use that name.
Yeah. I have a trademark on Justin.
Yeah. He does.
No. Timberlake and I have a deal.
Not like
Justin
O. Justin?
It. Yeah.
Justin O. Justin?
And when I say, hey, how's it going? That's me just saying, don't fucking use my name. Just don't do it.
Or I'll sue you.
Yeah.
But all right, Optimeter. Optimeter is what we're drinking now. And this one is off the shelf here. So it may have suffered some of the transit woes we've been talking about.
This one has.
It has?
It's not bad, but you can start to pick up the cardboardy, papery.
In fact,
extract.
Instantly, the aroma is similar to the first beer that we tried that we talked about having all those things.
Yep.
The Schwarzbier.
Yeah, the Schwanzbier.
The Schwanzstocker beer.
Schwarz.
Sorry, Schwarz.
You know what a Schwanz is.
Just want to have our decock fight and get this over with.
With the Schwanzbier?
I got to get to Sam Adams here. Can't believe I'm keeping Jim Cook waiting, even in recorded format.
He's pissed.
Even digitally, we don't care.
I like the Andex better.
Me too. I like the Andex much better.
And I'll tell you what, Doc, with the exception of the body, because ours has a thicker body like the Optimator, I think ours is more similar in taste to the Andex than it is this Optimator.
Optimator.
Daniela said Optimator.
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 Oh, neither one of us is right.
When did it become a French beer? I don't understand.
What do you think? Am I wrong in that ours is more similar to the other one? Would you say no?
I haven't really had ours.
Oh. At all?
Not really, no.
Oh. I guess you don't know yet then.
No.
Which makes me right by default.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
It's just like the only time I get to be right.
This one tastes very perfumey.
You can't sue me. Oh, that's not what you said?
No.
Sorry.
But I will.
It
does have a bit of a perfume. Floral.
It's kind of resiny.
Floral, but kind of
resiny.
Right.
Is that guy in the chat room really going to sue me?
I think so.
Nervous.
Cool.
Nervous about that.
He threatened the lawsuit already.
You'll lose
Literally
your pants.
Literally threatened it.
Wonder what he's going to get from that.
Your pants.
The chat room.
Yeah. I don't even have pants anymore. I got rid of those.
Give him a t-shirt.
They're probably going to take me away from you.
It's like the only thing of value that I have.
Well, you got the dog.
Hey, you got the bub timer.
No, I got those sweet Igloo mash tun and hot liquor tank. I'm being serious. Those are some value. And I don't mean like high dollar.
So you're going to hold a shotgun at the door if they take those, but Danielle is okay to go?
Here, take the
pretty
girl.
Much.
Leave the mash tun.
You pretty much got that right, Doc.
Take her, don't take the mash tun.
Ozzy got those for me, too. Ozzy and his lady.
Yeah. He figured you needed that.
They have sentimental value. Because shortly after I got those, I duct taped him to a window.
Oh, thanks, Oz.
Mac McDowell, your impressions of this beer?
Well, I'm still looking for a 9% beer, you know.
Yeah, you're still waiting for a strong one?
Something about that 9%.
He's not in his comfort zone.
You wait till you have ours. I think in Mike McDowell's mind, Doc and I are going to win the decock-off.
Decock-off.
Decock-fight.
I knew you were mad enough.
All right, let's go right into ours then, and all let's try that because I got to get to this interview.
I still think it's a little cold, but...
And then, by the way, we got a lot of homebrew to taste at the end. It's going to be a late night.
I'm going to sue you guys for a lack of appreciation for German beers, that's for sure. And I know I'm going to win this lawsuit.
I think you will.
This isn't about saying, good,
it doesn't matter, I'm
going to
sue you.
Yeah, fine.
Nothing else matters.
I have a limited liability corporation. You can't get
it. You know, at 7% we're drinking pale ales, and we need something like to get our attention, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's try Doc's and Justin's brew here.
I think our listeners are going to sue us for boredom.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that would have happened a long time ago, I think. Well, your beer has a nice nose.
It's, ours is the best so far.
Very balanced, perfumey, but not overly so.
It is. And I'll tell you what, I didn't think so until I had the other two. But right now, I'm liking mine better.
Good.
I like the Amdex the best.
It's certainly cold and refreshing.
It's very hot.
It's cold and refreshing.
It's kind of hot on the tongue, alcohol.
Yeah. It is.
But nice malt. I like the malt a lot. It's very, very it's
all right, I like the
good.
Beer, but don't be nice to me. What? Give me everything you think about
I just
about
said,
this
it's a little
beer.
Hot, a little high alcohol.
And that's all you have
tongue.
To say about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have I got, is it 8%? What
I don't know.
It's, well, let's see. It started about 1085 and got down to 1020.
Wow.
That's a pretty good drop.
It's a big thing.
Yeah, 8,
we're not dicking
8,
around, McDowell.
9%, something like that.
So you got
it. I like it. I like the little sweetness that's there, which is, to me, appropriate. It's great.
So what you know of a Doppelbach, and this one's obviously fresh, no transit problems here. Would you put this in a Doppelbach category?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah? And it stands up on its own as a Doppelbach? Or
I don't think it's 9 or 10%. That's the problem. That's where I like to.
You like them right up there.
Then I ice bock it and make it a 14.
But we have one.
Ooh. We have. Yeah, Doc ice-bocked a keg, right?
I iced one of these kegs. So, yeah, we have an ice-bock for this.
You two think alike. Have you brewed a Doppelbach, McDowell?
Yeah, I just took one out of the fermenter yesterday.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Your first time doing one or no?
No, I make one for the last 4 years.
You have? Okay.
Keep trying.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
He's won best of show a couple of times for his ice-bock.
The ice-bock.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And what's real quick, how do you make an ice-bock out of this?
You basically make a bock or Doppelbach, and then you freeze it.
Okay.
And then you rack off the liquid because only the water freezes, and the water has no alcohol in it, and then you take everything else. So it concentrates the flavors, concentrates the alcohol. Okay. The best way I found to do it is just put your corny into a freezer with a small corny or whatever, and then the ice floats
or
to the top.
Freezer.
Yeah, the ice floats to the top.
Okay.
And then would you take it out of the beer out part of that keg,
yep,
and all the liquid comes out into another keg.
Just push it with CO2.
Push it with CO2, and it just all drains back out of there into a smaller keg. You're going to get a lot, probably about half.
Okay. And so in our case, Doc, with the one that you did it with, how strong will that icebox be, being that it's the remainder, it's the strong stuff that's left unfrozen?
It's probably at 12%.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, you'll probably, lose a third of the water?
That's going to warm us right up.
I've probably lost more like half of it.
Really?
Third to half. Yeah, it's a lot.
Wow. When are we going to have that?
Oh, probably the anniversary show.
Special occasion.
June?
Yeah.
Right before you drive somewhere.
Yeah.
June?
Well, yeah.
For the after party?
See, that's why I keep beer from you.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. So part of the whole idea was that I would brew all this Doppelbach,
yeah,
and I would keep it. It wasn't because I'll keep it for you, Justin, because I'm a good guy. No,
yeah,
it's I'm going to keep it away from you.
Because to me, June's like an eternity. That's like light years.
Well, that's
away.
Why I get. That's why I gave you one keg, a carbonated one keg filter. I don't know if I filtered. I don't even filter this one.
And I feel like I'm going to land on Neptune before I get to taste that beer if it's June. That's how far away that
just,
seems.
You know,
to me.
You're riding a motorcycle. You may never get to taste it. So
it's true.
It is true.
It's true.
Hey, you know what? Then I get a whole damn keg of Doppelbach ice beer. Yeah.
Pizza Port is a brewery down south, and one of the guys there for the Strong Ale Fest iced a keg of PBR.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did that taste?
They said it didn't taste very good, but the brewer's parents were all over it. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, an 8% PBR.
Doc, are you pleased? What I do want to know, you've brewed a Doppelbach before.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first triple decoction Doppelbach?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think? Are you pleased with the results? Or?
Uh-huh. I want to let it age a couple more months. Though.
Okay.
It totally.
Is there anything you would have had?
This tastes totally different. I actually tasted it like right out of the fermenter.
Yeah.
And when I racked it, and it's totally different.
It's different than a week ago. I'll tell you that.
It definitely.
I'd like someone to do a study that shows kind of a scale of how things age, because I wonder if the scale changes. Well, do you see what I mean?
Well, this is big beer. We're trying to get the alcohol to meld in.
Yeah.
We're trying to get any of the hops to mellow out and not at the same time have anything that's going to stale it at the other end.
So yeah, you want all that to happen before your malt kind of falls apart.
Yeah.
And that's the trick about, you know, about aging it. So you have to test it all the time.
Yeah.
Drink a little bit in a couple weeks and
I can do that.
Determine when it's good to go.
You kind of think about that when you're building the beer to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, not I didn't, but you did.
No.
Which is good.
No, but you stirred it.
I did stir it.
Hey,
I did a lot of the decoction myself.
Yes, you did.
Sure. Yeah.
So let's not
Well, you're a good decoction.
You know
handler.
What? He didn't bitch about it at all. I know his arms are about to fall off,
yeah.
But he didn't bitch one
well,
bit.
I got to see
did
I
was
I
ask for more beer.
I wonder
Sorry.
No, please go ahead.
You didn't hear him once he was at home crying about his little hands.
Oh my God, I have calluses.
All right, so you're the decoction fight winner. We give it to you.
Thank you. All right, listen, we got to get to this interview because, look, by the time we come back, we got to taste all those other beers. It's going to be 8 o'clock, and we're going to be hammered and the rest of the.
Damn.
So this is true.
Here's what, remember this show.
Here's what. Yeah, that's right. Here's what you're about to listen to, and I want to give a special thanks because Jim Cook is a busy guy, and he was great to us, and I hope you enjoy the interview. I'm going to make the interview available for download on its own, too, sort of outside of this episode, because I really want you all to be able to hear it at your own leisure. But I want you to listen to it now, because the guy...
At no cost.
At no cost, and he spent a good amount of time with me. In fact, as always, I lie to people and tell them it's only going to take a few minutes, and then I spend a couple hours with them. And I got a good hour out of Jim, and I'm telling you, you'll hear in the interview how excited he is about beer, and it's good to know that somebody who has that much success in this industry is still as giddy and geeky about beer as we are as homebrewers. He really is exactly the same, and to me that was a really good thing to find out. So this is Jim Cook, an interview that we did just about a week ago from Sam Adams, otherwise known as the Boston Beer Company. Us brewcasters are going to meet you in the chat room. Give us just a few minutes to have a leak and fill up, and then we'll be in there hang out with you, and when we come back afterward, we'll do our tastings of listener beers. And then we'll get out of here. All right? This is the Brewing Network, Jim Cook from Sam Adams.